It's really hard to say, bro.
Yeah. I know. I think there's going to be a lot of empty seats.
Yo, yo, yo. Bottle of rum.
Buenos dias.
What up, bruvs?
Cold chilling.
It's cold out there? Or are you just cold chilling?
I'm cold chilling and it's kind of cold. It's like 50-something.
Shit. Fucking hate New York.
It was just 80 2 days ago. This is wild out here.
Fucking New York sucks with the cold.
No, I know. I'm trying to convince the wife to do Florida, but she ain't having it. Plus, I got my business out here, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, you need somebody to take that over. You can't just walk.
Right, we got a manager. We kind of already got that, but I'm a little bit of a control freak, so it's going to be tough for me to, you know, move that far.
All right. Go on live.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready.
Podcast is intended for mature
boys.
Audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people.
Another one.
They don't want to see us win.
Sing along if you know the words.
All I need is 1 year of a dose of you. Girl, you know it's true, yeah. All I need is 1 year of a dose of you. Girl, you know I miss you, yeah. All I need is 1 year of a dose of you. Girl, you know I wanna kiss you.
Do this day.
Girl, you know I wanna kiss you.
Do this day. TheBoxingBoys.com. Hey, you know you woke up on a good foot when you rocking that Deontay Wilder single, baby. Hey, you know I wanna kiss you, girl. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Boys Radio. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs, joined alongside bright and early with Marcos with a K and Rimwalk Danny. We're here to discuss, obviously, Jared Anderson taking on Riyad Murray and his entire undercard taking place in Corpus Christi, of all places. Gentlemen, buenos dias.
What's up? Marcos with a K, but no S. But whatever. You add the Dominican flavor to it, I'll take it.
Yeah, because your name is Marco.
Not Os, though.
It's just Marco.
No Os. Right, I got you.
Well, what up,
yeah,
Danny?
That fight's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might make it more difficult for Jared than we might think.
Bro, you know, I just figured out why all these fighters are so upset. You know, like, Jared's had some run-ins with the law and, you know, he's had some change of hearts with the sport where, you know, he feels like he may only fight till he's 27. So then when they were interviewing him and trying to just understand what it was, he said, you know, that he quickly realized that this business, you know, it just ain't all that it's cracked up to be. And I quote, "It's a lot. I could go on all day. It's a dog eat dog world as far as the business goes. Then you have fans and commentators where you can do no right. Even when you do good, it only lasts for so long because the second you make one mistake, no matter how it is, you're going to get criticized for it. And it gives a whole different spin on your career."
He's right.
He is right, but I hear more than that. Let me give you this one. Open quote. "It was right after the bubble fights in Las Vegas from 2021 to 2020. 2020 to 2021, Anderson said, I was having fun. and still being a kid, I was still enjoying what I had going on after I had a different feel for the sport. And obviously, they put editor's bracket. So when he said after, he meant after the pandemic. He said, I had a different feel for the sport. I started to see the world and the sport for what it really is. It's a hypocritical sport. That's why I disagree with a lot of things. Then the other quote goes in where he starts talking about dog-eat-dog world and the business is, you know what I mean? So for those that don't know, let me ask you a question. Who promotes Jared Anderson? No, I'm asking you, Marco.
You know what?
You don't know who promotes him either?
No
shit,
idea.
What the fuck?
Who does?
All right, Danny?
You said Jared Anderson, right?
Yes.
Top ranked boxer?
You see, and that is the problem. You see, when we read these quotes, we can't see the issue because we're thinking only on the surface. But this is the same issue with a lot of James Prince fighters. They're not happy once that money starts coming in. You know, these guys accept all these chains, quote unquote, and move my mom out the house. That shit comes back from somewhere. So let me tell you, he's promoted by Antonio Leonard Promotions and co-promoted by Top Rank and then managed by James Prince. So I wish I had a sound bite for a money machine, but you already know what that means.
Okay.
So when you're talking dog-eat-dog world and, you know, the business is this, it starts at home. You cutting 3 percentages out, not to mention your trainer. That's 4 percentages. You got manager, promoter, trainer, Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Sanction and body.
Goddamn, my man's left with like 10% when he done. I would want to retire too at 27.
I mean,
I remember, running.
You remember that interview Danny Garcia did in Vegas? This was during the 2016 election, right? And they asked Danny, being a Puerto Rican American, you know, who he would vote for. And
oh, yeah, he said Trump. He moved to Miami for tax reasons.
Yeah, exactly, for the tax reasons. And I remember he broke it down, and I might be off by like 50K or so, but at that time, I feel like he said that for every million, he gets to keep about 300,000 of it.
Yeah, that's about, they come away with like 30%. I've had a few big fighters like Michael Moore and a couple tell me that they barely come off with 20-30%. And like Jared Anderson, I get that, because not only does he go through all the criticism and all the hardships, but then he doesn't even see that much money for it. So it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, a lot of
that was an interview.
That opportunity.
Yeah, you know and it sucks because on this undercard is the first ever Dominican heavyweight hopeful. We had Nagy Aguilera, and no disrespect to the Dominican Nightmare. I stole my name from him. No disrespect to Nagy Aguilera, but he was a journeyman heavyweight. And Ali Feliz could be the next big thing, not only for the Dominican Republic, but for America. He will debut Saturday, and he's already sparring with Jared Anderson. He's also with James Prince. So I'm assuming he's also with Antonio Leonard. And he's also with Top Rank. Not assuming. He is with Top Rank. I'm assuming the Antonio Leonard stuff until it comes out. But that's how Antonio Leonard and James do. They're a team. It's like me and Danny. It's like me and Danny. We're going to be smart. We're not going to fucking violate the Muhammad Ali Act. Danny will be a manager. I'll be a promoter. Bada boom.
Right. That interview that he did with Roy Jones, Jared, where he started crying,
yeah,
was very telling.
I mean, you know, it's funny you bring that up, and I'm going to let you elaborate. I just want to add that people criticize him for that, but that might have been the best thing he did because it seems to be the main thing anyone brings up. But go ahead.
It was it was real. It was how we felt, you know, and it just showed you the level of pressure, because when you're, what is he, 24? Something like that, right? When you're 24 years old, man, I don't care what anybody, that's a lot of pressure. A lot. Look, I'm telling you, I think that's a big reason why guys like Ryan and Tio snap a little bit, because it's just a lot of pressure when you're in your mid-20s. But those guys at least are seeing money, or so we think, but Jared isn't really seeing any fruits for his labor. So, like, you start thinking to yourself, what am I doing this for? Yeah, I want to be out of here in 3 or 4 years. What's the point?
Well, I ain't saying not seeing no fruits of the labor, but, you know, you got a team that got to get paid, too. But we have the manager of Elvis Rodriguez on. Benji, what's going on?
He's going to be connecting us
with Elvis in just a bit.
He'll jump on right now. I'm going to I sent him the link.
All right. So I'm assuming you're going to translate when he is ready. Just let me know. For those that don't know, we will be having Elvis Rodriguez on the show. If you want to ask him a question, head on over to our Patreon page or our community page right here on YouTube.com and drop your question. Please let him know where you are asking that question from. It just makes it better for them to know that they got fans all over the world. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and subscribe. We had 206,631, so we need about another 400. You know, we give and take here. We lose a bit. We gain a bit. We need about another 400 to get to that next goal of 207,000. Benji, I mean, let's start with you. Obviously, there's been a lot, happening. You guys were given the green light to see could you find a deal outside of the PBC. You thought that was happening with Sabril Matias. So let's start there, because we know that you were on the table as a team for many fighters, but ultimately no one accepted the Elvis Rodriguez fight, even after he was offered the fight and signed for the fight. So let's start with Sabril Matias. What happened there? Why did that fall apart? Why is he going with Liam Pardo, who is also a southpaw, versus going with, you know, your fighter, Elvis Rodriguez, who's Dominican, and outside of the Mexican-Puerto Rican rivalry, the Dominican-Puerto Rican rivalry is there, stems back to baseball, and it exists. So it made economic sense to fight a Dominican in Puerto Rico. What's your thoughts?
I mean, you know, people got to see that for what it is. It's not the first time. A lot of things came out to light after this situation and when everything was transpiring. So I was like, wow, like, you know, I had told them. I said, listen, like, are you sure Matias wants to fight us? We went down this hole already once, and they were like, yeah, like, he'll fight. And I was like, we accepted all of these terms. You know, he had a comeback fight in March that I had scheduled for him to get him kind of back into it. And they were like, they hit me up, and they're like, listen, would you fight Matias next? I was like, yeah, we have a comeback fight in March, but after that, sure. It was like, all right, yo, let me hit you back. They hit me back. They give me numbers. They're like, yo, listen, you got to go to Puerto Rico. It needs to be a rematch. This is the money. It is what it is. And you can't take that tune-up fight. I'm like, damn, bro, let me ask him before I say yes. So I hit him up, and he's like, bro, I'll take that fight. Like, it is, like, it is what it is. I got to take that opportunity. So we went back and forth about the numbers. We came to agreement with the numbers. They were like, all right, bet. Yo, we're going to go to, we're going to fly you out to Orlando, you know, announce the fight. You know, we're going to do a little press conference.
And it was supposed to be flown out for the Berlanga fight.
Correct. And I was like, all right, like, this is actually happening. So I'm like, yo, send me the contract. They're like, all right, give me a couple of days to send you the contract. Couple days by, yo, you got the contract? Hold on, give me a second. You know, I'll get you the contract. Okay, a couple days go by again. I'm like, yo, what's going on with the contract? Listen, these other guys came in, and, like, I was like, yeah, this is like, yo, they don't want to fight.
So what were they trying to get you to take less because they had other options, or did they just not want you?
No. I think, like, in my opinion, I think you know, Matchroom is doing what they got to do to cover for their fighter because, you know, they're promoting the boogeyman and the guy who everybody's ducking. And then if you come out and say, listen, we offered him the Rodriguez fight and he ain't want it, like, you know, what are you going to say, bro? So you can't promote that anymore. So he's like, now they're saying, oh, we really wanted the Paro fight. But I know.
I mean, that is true, though, because that Paro rumor has been there since last year, like November, bro.
So Cesar Cedda apparently spoke to.
Yeah.
He spoke to Eddie Hearn. And
okay.
Eddie was like, yo, we want the Elvis fight. Like, yo, Eddie's not a dumb guy.
Mm-hmm.
What fight does better in Puerto Rico?
The Dominican. It's by far, it has to be.
So we got
to
stop pretending like right now they're just covering for their fighter. And that's cool, yo. I get that. But, like,
now,
let's stop pretending like he's not a promoter.
Obviously, you don't know what Paro got, but do you believe, is it your hunch that he was offered less?
No, I think, I honestly think probably more. Because that's
but that wouldn't make no sense, Benny. So why would they not go with you?
Why do you think?
So,
I mean,
can I just throw out an idea, guys?
Go ahead.
And what's up, Benji? How are you? I know you can't see me.
What's going on, man?
Good to talk to you again. Just an idea. Let's not forget Paro was supposed to have the Regis fight and then had that broken orbital fight fell out. It could be that they're like, yo, we owe you a big one. You know, if an opportunity presents itself, you know, because he is with Matchroom, and obviously you guys were looking to do business with them. I'm curious, though, Benji, from the conversations you guys did have, I know you didn't receive a contract. Was it a situation like we've seen oftentimes recent with Matchroom where, hey, you win, then you get the Matchroom deal? Was the conversation was it just for the fight itself?
Win or lose, like we were gonna be with Matchroom, even if he lost, as long as he looked good, like he was gonna get a comeback fight, and then he's gonna get thrown back in there.
So now what? Because I seen the news that you guys are back on a PBC card in June. Now it's looking like
correct. So through that whole thing, then they started, you know, offering me Alfredo Santiago.
Mario Barrios fought, correct?
I don't know.
No, that's Giovanni Santiago. No, that's Giovanni Santiago. Alfredo Santiago, isn't that?
I think he fought Devin Haney.
Yeah, the Dominican that fought Haney.
Yeah, so they had offered us that, but, like, for a lot less than we're getting paid now, and they couldn't guarantee us a Matias fight. And then I seen Matias the other day, like, mad, like, talking shit, like, he's mad. I'm like, yo, why is he mad? Is he mad that we keep taking the fight, or is he mad that people keep asking him about this fight?
Well,
hey, que lo que?
We got your fighter on. Elvis, ¿cómo está?
Hello, guy. Buen día. Todo bien, todo bien.
Buen día. Estamos hablando aquí sobre tu pelea. Obviously, we're going to get Benny to translate. Just to let him know we're talking here. Obviously about his potential fight with Sabril Matias and this new fight that you guys have with PBC. So it is Alfredo Santiago for sure.
Our opponent?
Yes.
No. So they came back and they offered us Alfredo Santiago in Puerto Rico, but there was no guarantees. The money wasn't the same. And then PBC is like, yo, listen, forget that. This is what we're doing. Here's what we got. Here's what we're paying you. And here's what that does for you. And, you know, I couldn't say, oh, let me go to Puerto Rico for Alfredo Santiago. Hopefully, Matias will fight us.
So,
which clearly he has shown that he don't want to. And in that, it came to me that they had been trying to make Elvis Matias for a long time, way before they even told me about it.
So where does that leave Elvis with what named opponent?
como el oponente, ¿cómo se llama?
Raúl Goyaz, Valenzuela.
Raúl Goyaz, Valenzuela.
Valenzuela.
Do you guys, are you familiar with him?
I know he fought, what's the guy, the guy that Matchroom has, that lost. ¿Cómo se llama el tipo que peleó con él?
Creo que fue con Montana Love que él peleó.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so it's Gabriel Venezuela, ¿verdad?
Sí. Yeah.
All right. And this is going to be on Amazon Prime, I'm assuming.
Correct.
And this will be the non-pay-per-view June date, or is this the pay-per-view June date?
We're waiting to hear back.
All right.
It's either going to be June 22nd or the David Morrell call before that.
Okay. All right.
So,
not a bad opponent.
BoxRec.
He beat Steve Sparks too, Danny.
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with him. I was going to ask, do they know, is he still fighting on the Canelo undercard? Because on BoxRec, they got him listed to fight May 4th on the Canelo card.
Hmm.
I had heard that he had pulled out, that he's not going to fight on that card.
Okay.
He's got some good experience. I know Ulysses Jr. too from Canada. That's not a bad win, man. He's got like three good wins back to back.
He can fight.
Mm-hmm.
He can fight, bro.
So ask Elvis, has he watched tape on him yet?
Sabe que si tú has visto video del oponente.
Sí, yo. Anteriormente también vi un par de sus peleas.
Yeah, he said he's watched a couple of those fights.
Wow, so he watched a few before even knowing that he was going to get him? It was just, what, a coincidence?
Antes de que tú sabías que iba a pelear con él, tú viste su pelea.
Sí.
Yeah.
Recuerdo la pelea que él tuvo con Montana Love. No recuerdo bien la cartelera que era, pero sí sé que la estaba viendo, que esa noche recuerdo que hablé contigo, Benji.
Era cartelera de Canelo Vivo.
Sí, exactamente, sí, la cartelera de Canelo Vivo, recuerdo que la vi su pelea con Montana Love.
And is Elvis back in the States or is he in DR?
He's been training since end of December.
Okay, so he's in LA with Freddie?
Yeah.
And,
oye, Steve, estamos hablando de Matías, de qué tú piensas, de todo lo que ha pasado y todo eso.
No, yo lo vi hablando mierda él los otros días en una entrevista y en un en vivo, porque parece que la gente le estaba preguntando mucho por mí, por la pelea, porque esa era la pelea, parece que la gente de verdad quería ver, Dominicana versus Puerto Rico en Puerto Rico. Y no sé qué pasó, que él o su equipo no quisieron coger la pelea, entonces él empezó la mierda ahí porque le preguntaron por mí, que yo esto, que yo lo otro, que a mí no me han dado, pero si a mí no me han dado, yo quisiera que él venga y me dé, yo lo voy a estar esperando aquí, porque a él sí no le han dado, un hombre de verdad que pega a él sí no le ha dado. Yo lo voy a estar esperando aquí, cuando él se decida, como él dijo que no, que yo tengo que pasar prueba, porque ¿quién es él y que para ponerme prueba a mí? Y que para yo pelear con él. Entonces yo lo voy a estar esperando aquí cuando él se decida. Hay tiempo, yo lo voy a estar esperando.
He said, look, I saw him talking shit the other day, and he's salty because everybody keep asking him about me, and that's clearly the fight that the fans want to see, and, you know, who is he to
Well, he
to,
said
to,
that clearly the fight the fans want to see, Dominican versus Puerto Rican
versus
in
Puerto Rico. Correct, and it's an easy fight to make. And he said that, you know, that he was talking as if, like, he was way past him, and I'm not going to go back and fight this caliber opponent. And that even though Elvis strong, that he ain't never been hit, and that he's going to hit him. And he says, look, I'm here, like, I'm waiting for you. You know, come try to hit me, bro. I'm waiting for you, bro. What's up? Like, I you haven't been hit by a real man like me.
Well, I would disagree there. Ask him, does he not rank Urshagev, that last mandatory? That dude was, He's solid, bro. Ask Elvis his thoughts on the mandatory challenger that obviously Sabril went in there and took out, made retire. He retired him on a stool.
¿Qué tú piensas la pelea de él con Ergashev?
Esa fue su última pelea.
Sí.
Sí. El que le dieron el balazo.
Oh, no sabía que le... Yo sí leí supuestamente que le habían dado un balazo en un pie, pero que el otro muchacho también entró como, tú sabes, entró como muy demasiado fuerte los primeros dos asaltos y después no quiso tirar, no sé qué fue lo que le pasó.
Espérate. Tú no sabes porque parece que él entró caliente y después recibió y decidió, ya, yo no quiero pelear más.
No, pero... Él empezó dando a él. Yo ni siquiera vi cuando le dieron a él. Ya después en el tercer asalto, después del tercero, ya ahí
sí. Sí, eso fue lo que pasó, que él entró caliente y después dos asaltos pasan y todavía está esta máquina enfrente de la cara de él. Para el tercero, tú sabes, ya se le fue el ánimo, parece, y no quiso seguir. But you're gonna need the translator.
Pero eso fue el gaché, eso no es Elvis Rodríguez, eso fue el gaché.
He said, you know, Ergashev went in there, started hot, and then, like, he just stopped throwing. And, you know, he was supposedly shot in the foot or whatever it was. And, you know, he's like, look, I didn't even see what hit him, but, you know, he just stopped throwing. I don't know if he gassed out or whatever it is, but that's Ergashev. I'm Elvis Rodriguez.
Ask him how does he think he does versus an Ergashev, because Ergashev just came back. We thought he was going to retire, but homie got he already back.
Yeah, so real quick, I was...
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, going into that fight, I was in the gym with Ergashev that week, and he was saying win or lose, he was retiring after the fight. So it was just kind of weird to see him come back. He just got a win back in Detroit.
Yeah.
So
I believe it was difficult.
Dude was talking about retiring before a fight, and like you give him credit. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
but
know,
but
bro.
But Benny, I believe it was
what
because
mentality was he in?
I believe it's because of his promoter at the time.
Point.
He was with Salida. Salida just got the zone deal before that fight took place, so I could see his mentality. You know, it's kind of like you guys. Let's be real. You're sitting around. You keep getting off of fights that don't happen. You know, a fighter could get desencantado, like he ain't beat no more. You know what I'm saying? But now the opportunities is coming, and it gives you a change of heart. No? Can you see that?
I mean, if you win this, you win this. And if you're not, you're not. Yo.
Yeah, but if they not moving you? Look at Stanonius. He got 25 months out the ring. Like, how do you keep your spirit up?
Bro, because, yo, dude is hungry, yo. Like, he wants this. Like, we know Stanonius, and he hungry, bro. He wants this. Like,
yeah,
he's
going through a motherfucker.
That,
I've interviewed that dude. He's going through a motherfucker right now.
Yo, it's tough, yo. It's tough, and boxing is tough right now. But, you know, like, I just think it's crazy that these guys can all pick and choose and do all of these things. And it's like, yo, what's the point of rankings? What's the point of any of these things if you could just, you know, that guy's too hard. I'm going to go over here, bro.
I mean,
you know, it's nuts right now.
But how highly, because 1 and 2 is vacant, so Elvis was getting an opportunity. It's not like it's his turn just yet.
Correct. I think it was his turn after, you know, there was a couple of guys who turned down the Teofimo fight. So I think when you see the guys that turned down the Teofimo fight, Elvis was the next guy.
Which brings me to the next guy, right? Like, I had got wind that you guys were going to get an offer for Teo. And it seems like I was right in terms of what was reported ultimately, but did you ever get a phone call for Teo?
Yes.
Okay, so I was right. That's great. So
prior
it was
prior to you hitting me up, by the way. I just didn't want to say nothing.
Okay, even better. So it was ultimately it was up to Teo. What I was told is Teo was given three names, two outside names, or maybe I forget now because it was so long when I texted you, but I know it was Elvis, Claggett. Damn, Danny, do you remember what I told
Murataya.
You? Murataya. That's right. The motherfucker ain't even take Murataya moving up. So Yeah, I'm shocked he took Claggett because the other two names are a lot, you know, more appealing in Elvis and Murataya, but I understand why he took Claggett to stay busy. He just fought in February, comes back in June, another fight. He could still have one more fight end of the year. That being said, how was that contract, and was that, you know, one of those opportunities where you just took it because of the name, or was the contract attached to that also a good contract, and did it mean you had to have to sign to Top Rank? Was it any options?
You know, we didn't get that far with those negotiations. Essentially, up until like 3 days before he decided on Claggett, as far as I had heard, it was us. It was Elvis. And then at the last minute, you know, he decided on Claggett. I think, you know, I think Teofimo and Matias are two different categories in which, you know, Teofimo gets paid a significant amount of money to pretty much fight anybody, and he's in a different kind of fiscal part of his career than Matias is. I think the Matias, I was like shocked that you could go out here and be like, yo, everyone's ducking me, and then pretend like our fights aren't offered, and pretend like you, and he has, I feel like, and I think Elvis feels the same way. Matias has very different energy when it comes to talking about Matias, when it comes to talking about Elvis, than everybody else.
Do they know each other from the amateurs?
¿Que si se conocen del amateur? Matías y tú.
Yo lo llegaba peleando allá en Puerto Rico. Nosotros íbamos mucho siempre a Puerto Rico. Hacían un torneo que creo que todavía lo hacen. Se llama Copa Chevaponte y nosotros íbamos allá todos los años a pelear y yo siempre lo veía.
He said, I would see him all the time at the Copa Chevaponte in Puerto Rico.
But they never shared the ring in any way.
Nunca pelearon o guantearon ni nada.
No, pues yo recuerdo esa vez yo estaba en peso más bajito. Yo primero peleaba en 56 kilos, después en 60. Y creo que él peleaba en 64, si no me equivoco.
He said Matias was bigger at the time. At that
for sure.
I mean, he was a lot smaller and younger.
So talk to me. Obviously, you guys are training. I'm sorry. There was a delay.
If you heard him talk, you know, he was essentially saying, you know, Rivera ducked him. And Liam Paro, and he chose to fight Liam Paro. But then he was saying that, you know, I'm not going to go back and fight an Elvis Rodriguez. And it's like, wait, you'll fight a Michelle Rivera and you'll fight a Liam Paro, but you're not going to fight Elvis Rodriguez? Like, well, that don't even make sense, bro. That don't even make sense. Like, I get it, him saying that if he's fighting Devin Haney or Teofimo Lopez. Bro, I get it. At that point, yo, it is what it is. But that's not what's happening. You're fighting Liam Paro. And you were in negotiations to fight Michelle Rivera, who apparently ducked you. But you can't say that about Elvis. And it feels like you mad that you can't say that about Elvis.
Well, ask him, how's it going training with Freddie? And does he feel that the focus is, you know, being spread evenly? Because I know Freddie has a big assignment right now with Cinco de Mayo coming up, May 4th, you know, Canelo and Munguia, no?
Que cómo te va allá entrenando con Freddie? Que si Freddie te está prestando atención ahí, que tiene Munguia para esta pelea el 5 de mayo, que es una pelea bien grande.
Sí, la cosa va bien porque Munguia tiene su horario aparte. Yo tengo mi horario aparte en el gimnasio y tú sabes, la cosa va bien. Freddie siempre está ahí. Freddie, como quien dice, vive en el gimnasio ahí. Aparte de Freddie, tú sabes que también tenemos a Marvin ahí, que me ayuda muchísimo también. Y siempre, tú sabes, las cosas van bien siempre en el gimnasio. Mucho sparring tengo. Ahora mismo estoy ayudando a Raúl Curiel, un peleador de Golden Boy, que tiene su pelea el 27 de abril y he estado haciendo sparring con él.
So it's just going good. You know, Jaime Munguia has his time. I have my time. Right now I'm helping Raúl Curiel get ready for his fight that's coming in April.
Obviously, Jaime has gone up many divisions. How long has he been, there with Freddie? And has there ever been a chance that, Elvis and him shared the ring? Because Jaime was a 47-pounder. I'm not sure if he was with Freddie back then. But, again, even, when you're sparring, you don't look for someone specifically in your way. Oh, only two? Is it only the last two, Danny?
¿Cuántas peleas tiene con Freddy? Dos, ¿verdad? ¿O una?
Una sola.
Una
sola. Esta va a ser la número dos.
Oh, wow.
Sí, esta va a ser la número dos.
Second fight.
Oh, wow.
He was with Eric Morales before,
right? Oh, sí,
before,
que estaba con Morales. Se me olvidó. Yeah, he was with Eric. Okay. Man, what is Elvis' thoughts on Boots going to Matchroom?
¿Qué tú piensas de Boots? Que está, se está yendo para Matchroom.
No, que se fue ya.
O que se fue.
Ya fue ya. Se vive eso ayer y... Coño. No sé qué... ¿Cuáles son las peleas que tienen planes en el futuro para él? Pero me imagino que tienen buenos planes con él. Tú sabes que él es, como te digo, uno de los tops ahora mismo en el boxeo, en la 147 libras. Me imagino que tienen grandes planes con él, ¿tú me entiendes? Y el chamaquito en verdad tiene talento.
Yeah, he said, look, I don't know what his plans are, but, like, they must have, big plans for him because he's one of the top guys in the world right now, and especially at 147, and he has a lot of talent.
I'm not trying to put you in a difficult position, but you've obviously already done business with PBC and Top Rank. Do you at least like the consistency that you had for your fighter with Top Rank? Because we were seeing Elvis more regularly.
Look, I'm always be a big proponent of activity. I think activity matters. I think activity is everything. You stay in the public's eye. You get spoken about, you get to work on your craft, you get to get better and better and better. Like, I believe, a lot in that. So, I think that's important. And that's all I can really say.
What are your guys' thoughts as a team on actually ask him that, he's now with both. Like, what does he prefer the...
¿Qué tú prefieres, Top Rank o PBC, de la manera que te han llevado la carrera, la actividad de Top Rank o de la manera que te están tratando PBC?
Bueno, en verdad, tú sabes, es como tú dices, el boxeo está un poco difícil ahora mismo, ¿tú me entiendes? Y yo lo que, tú sabes, mi deseo es siempre tener más actividad, hacer la mayor cantidad de peleas posible al año, ¿tú me entiendes? Pero también siempre que la cosa me convenga a mí, porque este es mi trabajo, esto es lo único que yo estoy haciendo, ¿tú me entiendes? Y la cosa me tiene que convenir a mí. No sé si me entiendes.
He said, look, I love activity and I agree that activity important, and I want to fight as much and as often as possible every year, but it just needs to ultimately make sense for me, because like, this is my job, this is how I feed my family, so it just needs to make sense for me.
Got a couple of questions from the people and we'll get you guys out of there. We got Octo that says, how would you describe Freddie Roach as a trainer, and what new things did he add to your game, Elvis?
Entendiste.
Más o menos.
¿Cómo describe a Freddie Roach como entrenador y qué te ha ayudado en tu o qué ha añadido a tu estilo?
Bueno, yo siempre lo he dicho que el cambio que yo he dado aquí después que llegué a la mano de Freddie, tú sabes, ha sido un cambio del cielo a la tierra, he mejorado muchísimo, tú me entiendes, y ha sido una experiencia, tú sabes, bastante buena. Siempre el gimnasio viene muchos boxeadores de calidad. Siempre tengo la oportunidad de sparrear con boxeadores de calidad, ¿tú me entiendes? Y ha sido una experiencia bien buena para mí y para mi carrera.
He said, look, I've always said it since I've been here, my style has changed, totally. I'm always getting in there. There's always great sparring. I'm always seeing different styles. and it's been a great experience for my career.
I got Hugo that says, ¿con qué otro boxeador dominicano has compartido en la República Dominicana? ¿Y con cuál has peleado en los amateurs?
Pues con todo.
Bueno, tú sabes, de compartir, he compartido con todito allá, en verdad, porque tú sabes, nos conocemos de que somos carajitos, como decimos allá en República Dominicana, nos conocemos, ¿tú me entiendes?
Uh-huh.
A todito lo conozco, toditos son míos. Y de, tú sabes, eso de pelear, hemos peleado entre toditos. Mira, yo he peleado con Héctor Luis García, con Román Polanco, con Henry Cedeño, con Harrison García. No recuerdo con quién más, pero ya tú sabes, hemos peleado.
So he had a growth spurt then. If he fought all those guys, some at one point he just grew and they did, you know, he left them because they're still small.
I mean, Henry is
his 30.
And,
he moved up to 35, but he's ultimately fights at 30. Hector.
Andre is 40. And then Hector, Garcia is 30. Yeah, Garcia is 30. And he fought Polanco. ¿Con quién más? Aguanteado con Eury.
Sí, con Eury.
Eury is the bigger brother, right? You're talking about the Martinez brothers.
He fought the smaller one, but he has fought with the bigger one, and he's fought with Caballo también.
Caballo, you talking Carlos Adames?
Yeah, same.
Okay, wow. Well, I'll translate that for the people. You know, the question from Hugo was basically what fighters from the Dominican Republic did he, you know, hang out and just, you know, casually chill with, and then what fighters in the Dominican Republic did he fight in the amateurs? So fighting, all of them. All of them. Didn't matter the weight, as you can see. And hanging out, all of them. He says they're all his boys because, you know, they came up from little Rugrats, basically. I got Rod in L.A. He says, what happened with the Matias fight and why didn't your team work out a deal with Matchroom? They got the majority of the 140-pounders. You answered all that already. Obviously, Matias chose Paro and Matchroom didn't give you a deal, and then you got pulled away by PBC. They did offer you something.
Oh, they were offering us something if we went to Puerto Rico and fought Alfredo Santiago and kind of agreed to be a backup if something happened to Paro. But we just got a better fight offer from PBC, so it just made no sense at the end of the day. But, I mean, I would like to ask you and your fans.
Now, wait,
would you rather watch?
Did it make no sense because the offer from PBC was financially that greater? Because I just look at it again. I go back to activity. I know with Matchroom.
Yeah, so they were both three-fight deals, but the PBC three-fight deal was – and it's the same time frame, but the PBC three-fight, it was significantly more money.
And do you believe that it will play out the way that it was, you know, told to you? Because obviously, look, Kenny Sims left. He left PBC again, you know. So it's like people are waiting and waiting and getting tired of waiting.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys rather Paro and Matias or Paro and, or Elvis and Matias? Or do you guys rather Teofimo and Elvis?
I know Paro. I know Paro.
Or
I know he's tough.
Or Teofimo and Claggett.
Well, again, man, I've been in the business for a long time, right? So my answer is going to be different. It's like for Tio, I understand it. It'll give him the activity that we beg these fighters to have.
From a fan perspective.
If we just talking to fighter, of course nobody wants Claggett.
From a fan and fight perspective.
No, of course no one wants Claggett if we just talking to fight. But with the Paro situation,
and if everybody wanted Paro, I don't think everybody would be hitting up Matias the way they are.
I'm not saying
so salty about the situation.
I'm not saying everybody wants Paro. And remember, Matias is Latin, so his fan base is gonna want a Latin last name versus you know, some dude from Australia. It's just the bottom line. They're going to want to be able to pronounce Rodriguez versus Pato, even though Pato sounds
like
Italian.
It's like if you're the general manager of the Yankees, and, you know, the what do you want? You want
but Benny,
Red Sox,
no. We got to include Elvis.
You want the Mets.
I'm including Elvis.
Like,
Elvis, este como que está en fuego now, que Matías no quería pelear contigo, pero porque... Entonces, ¿por qué cogió la oferta de PDC? ¿Por qué no pelea en Puerto Rico? Está ahí por si acaso. Si Pato no pelea, entra tú. Si Pato pelea, tal vez entra tú en la próxima, pero ya
no,
tú estás de ese lado.
Él no va. If they would have offered me Matias, if we beat Santiago, we would have done it.
Yeah, but you on that side of the street. Fuck Matias. You got Devin on that side. You got Ryan on that side. There's more names on that side. Like... I just want to translate for the audience too, because we left them in the dark. I was telling Elvis that you seem frustrated that Matias didn't take the fight, but then you turned around and took a PBC deal when you could have just took the matchroom deal, fought on his undercard in Puerto Rico, and hopefully get the fight down the line, because now you're in matchroom. And there's Devin Haney at 40, and there's Ryan at 40, and Montana Love at 40, and Hitchens at 40, and Steve Sparks at 40. And Liam Pato
so,
at 40.
But let me interject. You're talking about, and if everything plays out, because obviously everything is based on if he wins on both sides of the street. You're talking about what ultimately amounted to, on one side was about a $400,000 deal, and on the other side is a $900,000 deal. Which do you take?
Of course the 900, but again, you've been that down that road, you know. That may or may not manifest. That's just, it may or may not manifest. Things can change.
But you just said, of course, the $900,000 deal.
Of course, the money is double. I mean, what the fuck? You can't, but then I won't be frustrated. I won't be mad that Matias didn't take the fight when I'm obviously happy that I took more money.
We were okay. And then like he came out saying all of that and we were going to leave it alone. Like, it was what it was. We move on. You know, they know that they haven't accepted the fight on several occasions at this point, you know, and apparently it's more than twice, because I thought it was just twice that I knew of. But apparently they've been trying to make this fight for a minute, and they keep putting ifs and fifths and, you know, whatever.
And when you say apparently, you're saying after the failed negotiations with Matchroom, you got word from PBC that they had been trying to make that fight while Matisse was on PBC.
When I got the offer from Matchroom, I let PBC know who is ultimately, you know, Al is our advisor. I had to let them know. And they were like, yo, Ben, they're not going to take the fight, bro. Like, we've tried to make that fight a lot. So, like, good luck. I hope they make it. But I don't see them taking that fight because we've tried to make that fight.
And, again, for the audience listening, PBC is insinuating that they tried to make Matias Elvis while both were on PBC.
And they did for sure in November that I know of. I didn't know they had tried to make it before that. Like, I can just be honest, but like what I know.
For sure. Let's get to the rest of these. We got, looks like Jay Fernandez, who says RJ in Chicago. You've been out of the ring for almost 9 months. Who do you want to fight next? Anything in the works that you can talk about? Well, you've already given the opponent. You might want to say that one more time. He is fighting June, first half of June, either the first fight in June or the pay-per-view card in June, correct? Benny?
Correct.
Okay. And the name...
It's against Gabriel Valenzuela?
Yes.
Is that it?
It's Gabriel Golazo Venezuela. Is that how you pronounce it, Danny? Double L? I fucked that up probably. I'll text it to you about now.
Say it again?
Let me ask you guys. I know, do you guys rather see Elvis versus Matias or Elvis versus Teofimo?
I would say, again, you want fight fan or business?
No, fight fan. We don't care about the business.
Better for the business.
Goyas.
I would say I can't think without the business. As a guy that just, I would rather Elvis fight Tio. He seems more vulnerable. He had very bad fight with Sandor, got dropped twice. Elvis could get that belt, then the Matias fight is bigger because it's two power punches. I just can't think backwards where it's like, oh, go straight into the Matias fight where you can lose. You know what I'm saying? Because it's two punches hitting each other where you could go to Tio, right? He likes to be cute. He puts his hands down. He could get caught. You get a belt. You unify. The Matias fight makes more sense. But ultimately, fans' perspective has to be power puncher versus power puncher, which would be Elvis versus Matias for me.
The win over Tio would be better because Tio has more accomplishments.
Star power.
Even though he has looked bad.
Yeah, but he's asking you what fight you think is better. Like, what fight you want to see as a fan.
No, what would you rather see personally?
I think I'd rather see Tio because I want to see Elvis accomplish, you know. I want
to
see what Elvis
can
accomplish.
It's hard not to think business. Like, Tio's the bigger name. He's the bigger accolades. It'll put Elvis in a bigger, you know, more popularity.
And
I think
Tio,
the good thing that came out of all this, me and us in Top Rank, you know, kind of mended the fences and you know, we're on good terms. So it's possible that you still see that in the future, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, look, when I got wind of it, I came and I told you because I was shocked myself, you know, being as though you guys were there and they were offering you the Tio fight. I thought that was huge. I was praying for it, you know, hoping that you got one of these two big opportunities. But again, you've made it clear that the PBC came through. I got a couple more. I got Toledo.
I expected. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I expected the Matias fight to happen. I didn't really expect
Tio.
I didn't really expect Tio to take Elvis over Claggett, especially after his last performance.
Yeah, I mean, it's a free check, essentially. You know, you got to – I mean, would you not take Claggett if you was off of Claggett and you were in Tio's position? Exactly. You're going to get three fights this year. He'll still get a big fight end of the year. He could still unify with Haney or Matias. Tio no Elvis. En la oportunidad que estaba Tio, le estaban ofreciendo la persona de Canadá, pero también él no es un Elvis Martínez, él no es un Devin Haney o un Subrio Matías, pero le da la oportunidad al peleador tener tres peleas en un año.
¿Cuál de los dos te frustró más, la de Matías o la de Teofimo, cuando dijeron que no?
He's asking Elvis, which of the two fights frustrated him more when he wasn't able to get
it? Dime tú, ya. No, tengo que coger la cosa suave, como decimos ya, tengo que cogerlo suave, no, porque imagínate. La de Matías, yo siento que me frustró un poquito más, tú me entiendes, porque ya, según ya lo que habíamos hablado, ya yo te di el sí de una vez y solamente cuando hablé contigo ya me dijiste, no, solamente estamos esperando el contrato. Y para mí ya era un hecho, tú me entiendes, ya era un hecho, sí. ya estaba entrenando ya para esa pelea. Y después me dicen que no. Esa siento que me frustró un poquito más, porque la de Teofimo por lo menos tú me hablaste claro. Me dice, oye, me van a avisar de una vez, no van a poner a perder tiempo.
Yeah, he said that the Matias one frustrated him more because it seemed like it was a done deal and, you know, we were starting to get ready for that fight. We were just waiting for the contract, so it is what it is, bro.
I mean,
and he can't get frustrated. Everybody keeps telling him no. It's not like it's Matias, it's Teofimo, it's Jose Ramirez, it's Barbosa. Barbosa, I understand because his situation, he wants to fight up. So I didn't really expect that. But I thought, like, I really thought Ramirez and Matias were, like, fights that could or should get done because they make sense for both fighters.
Well, Gabriel is ranked in the WBO, Venezuela. Are you guys going to also try to get ranked in that sanction, or will this fight not be a sanctioned WBO fight? Because you guys are number 11 in the IBF. He's number 12 in the WBO. Have you guys gotten to the part?
We're number 7 in the WBO.
You are. But number 11 in the IBF is what I said. Yes. Is it going to be a sanctioned WBO fight?
I need to talk to them. I know that it's sanctioned for the IBF.
And that's why I'm asking, because, again, him being number 7, Barboza should be getting his turn because Tio asked for Super Champion a few months ago, so he's got like 18 months before he has to fight Barboza. You know, that ladder will keep moving as well. So I just wanted to know, are you going to continue to be ranked in both or are you going to choose one?
No, I think we're going to try to continue getting ranked in both because those seem to be the fights that at least seem like hopefully they can be made. You know, I get negotiations are tough and sometimes it takes time. So, you know, maybe a couple more wins and these guys will be willing to step in the ring and make it happen.
Danny, you got one?
Yep. Elvis wanted to know your thoughts if you watched the Hitchens fight against Lemos this past weekend. Que si viste la pelea con Hitchens contra Lemos el fin de semana pasado y que tus pensamientos sobre la pelea.
Bueno, ustedes la vieron la pelea, ¿verdad?
Sí. ¿Qué pensaste tú?
Tú sabes, a veces cuando... Yo siento que cosas así es bueno que pasen para el boxeo a veces, tú me entiendes, bueno que pasen, porque la mayoría de estos chamaquitos, ellos, cuando tú lo oyes hablando a ellos, no, que yo estoy en otro nivel, hablan como que ellos, tú sabes, están más para arriba de todo el mundo, no, yo estoy en otro nivel, yo esto, yo puedo qué sé yo qué. Entonces, a la hora de la verdad, no lo demuestran porque ustedes vieron lo que pasó.
Uh-huh.
Eso tiene que seguir pasando para que ese chamaquito se le baje, tú sabes, porque ellos siempre hablan que la mayoría de veces las peleas no se dan por eso. No, tú no estás a mi nivel, que si yo qué. Así decía Shakur Stevenson también de Edwin de los Santos, de que no, tú no estás a mi nivel, tú no estás a mi nivel y ustedes vieron también. ¿Tú me entiendes? Eso y eso es bueno que pase a veces en el boxeo. Esa cosa sí es bueno que pase a veces en el boxeo.
Benny, translate that properly because he did an amazing job answering that.
He said, look, like you guys saw the fight. Like, you know, I don't got to say nothing. Like, I think it's good for stuff like that to happen sometimes because these guys, you know, are on that high horse acting like they better than everybody. And he's not on my level. He's not on my level. And they get humbled by fights like that. And a lot of times that's why fights don't happen because, you know, they think, oh, they better than everybody and he's not on my level. And then they get humbled by some guy they're supposed to, you know, walk through. And, you know, the same thing happened with Shakur Stevenson, who talks the same way. And you saw what happened with him and Edwin de los Santos.
Absolutely. Beautiful answer. We got Treese in Toledo, Ohio says, would you rather rematch Kenny Sims or fight Richardson Hitchens?
Que si tú prefieres pelear con Kenny Sims o Richardson Hitchens.
Todo dependiendo que no ofrezca cada una de esas peleas, ¿tú me entiendes?
Whatever the best offer is.
For sure. And I think we got... Last one is from... One Way Renzo, how would you like to be described to my Hispanic boxing fans that may not be aware of you? So how would he want to be described to boxing fans that don't know him?
¿Cómo tú quieres describirte a los fanáticos que a lo mejor no te conocen?
Bueno, ¿cómo yo me describiría? Creo que soy un boxeador técnico, pero que también soy agresivo, tú me entiendes, y el cabito mi pelea sabe. Y creo que, tú sabes, soy agradable de ver, pienso que soy bueno para el boxeo, que mis peleas son, ¿cómo te digo? Que mis peleas siempre, tú sabes, siempre son buenas, siempre pasa algo en mi pelea.
You know, he says, look, I think I'm a technical boxer puncher who, you know, I like to be aggressive. And, you know, I think that I'm a fan-friendly fighter and all my fights are exciting. You know, that's one thing. And it's a shame, I think, for boxing, because I'm mentioning Hitchens right now. I think for boxing, and not because Elvis is mine, but Elvis and Teofimo and Matias, like, they're good for boxing and boxing fans, right? The Hitchens and then the Shakurs and the technical guys, like, for, like, boxing to grow as a sport, those guys are not good because they stink it up and they do it constantly and they don't excite guys. They don't excite fans.
I mean, Shakur got a fan base, champ. He sells 10,000-12,000.
But I'm talking about, you know, the casual fans that seem to be going elsewhere. Like, those guys want excitement. They want knockouts. They want, you know, fan-friendly fights. They're not trying to tune into, you know, chess matches or whatever it is that the technical, whatever it is that Hitchens said he was doing with the jabbing and holding, that's technical boxing. All right, yo, cool, yo. Nobody want to see this.
Yo, you hilarious. He said, all right, man, cool.
I'm changing the channel, man. Come on, man. Like, let's be real, yo.
What's your thought? Ask him what's his thoughts on Gustavo Lemos.
You want to see people? ¿Qué tú piensas de Gustavo Lemos?
Mira, primera vez que lo vi y se vio fuerte.
It was the first time I've seen him, man. He looked strong, bro.
Yeah, nah, he did.
He's a good fighter. I thought he won. I thought he won pretty clearly, but, like, it is what it is.
You think Hitchens should rematch? Ask Elvis, does he feel Hitchens should rematch?
¿Tú piensas que Hitchens debe de darle la revancha?
Hay que ver si él quiere dar esa revancha. Hay que ver si él quiere.
We got to see if he actually wants to rematch that guy.
All right. Well, Elvis, those are all the questions, man. Thank you, as always, for coming on. You know, my deepest condolences for not – oh, you got one? You said you got one, Danny?
Yeah, I just wanted thoughts on the big one. Yeah, his thoughts on the fight next Saturday night. It's his division, right? 140-pound division.
Very
I know
true.
Haney was over at Wild Card getting some work. I'm sure he may have not been in the room, but he at least heard something. So just his thoughts on the fight.
¿Qué tú piensas la pelea la semana que viene?
Bueno, en verdad, hay que ver cómo va a llegar Ryan García a esa pelea, ustedes han visto toda la controversia que él ha tenido últimamente. No sé cómo está él preparado mentalmente para esta pelea, pero tengo favorito a Haney para esta pelea.
Entraron.
Honestly, you gotta see how Ryan shows up to this fight mentally. You seen what's been going on with him and all the controversy. You just got to see how he shows up. But I got Haney, you know, winning the fight.
I got two more, actually. Dr. Mofongo, also Dominican, he said, I got my nickname from a long-standing feud between me and a coworker from Puerto Rico who has the best Mofongo, despite who created it. I obviously feel the title today belongs to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, of course.
What do you think, Elvis? Gracias, campeón.
¿Quién tiene el mejor mofongo, los boricuas o los dominicanos?
Coño. El mofongo de allá de Santo Domingo está en otro nivel, en verdad.
Yo te voy a decir la verdad. Yo nunca he visto los dominicanos hacerlo como los puertorriqueños, porque los puertorriqueños le meten de todo. Hay mofongo de camarones,
eso.
Mofongo de carne, mofongo de
Vete
pollo.
Los mofongo.
Nosotros
más
hacemos
mofongo.
Mangú con cebolla carne al lado.
Allá lo hacen los mofongos. Yo siento que eso, ¿cómo te digo? Viene siendo, la comida viene siendo bien parecida en Puerto Rico y de República Dominicana y bien parecida. Lo único, tú sabes que en Cuba también, que aquí tengo en Los Ángeles, es lo más cercano que tengo a comida dominicana, que es los restaurantes cubanos, y la comida es bien parecida. Lo
uh-huh.
único que le cambia es los nombres. Le
sí.
dicen con gris, que lo otro, pero la comida es casi lo mismo siempre.
Casi lo mismo, porque ese mofongo de los puertorriqueños es más seco.
Sí,
más seco. El de nosotros es más cremoso y se ve.
Oye, yo te envío a sitio allá en Nueva York para que comamos fongo de verdad.
No, pero yo soy de Nueva York.
Allá en Dominicana le hacemos el ritmo y le ponemos a la crema.
Exacto. Le echamos un chin de leche cuando lo estamos haciendo. El mofongo del boricua es como cemento, bien seco. Y lo and you know, they build shit out of their mofongo, too. I don't mean cemento like that, Danny. What I mean is, like, it's they mold it. It's so dense that they can mold it, where ours is more like, you know, mush, if that makes any sense for all the Latins out there that have eaten, you know, plátanos. Bueno, that is the last. Oh, actually, we got James in Atlanta that says, do you see a move to 147 possible anytime soon?
It's funny. Everybody keeps asking that. Que si tú ves, si tú vas a subir en algún momento a 147.
Oye, imagino que sí. Claro, claro que sí. Imagino que sí.
But I'm sure at some point I will.
Super duper last one. Because of that question, it just triggered. We found out that before Matias left PBC, he was offered two welterweights. Can't remember both of them, but Boots was one of them. Have you guys ever been offered Boots?
Ah, stop it, bro. Stop it. I know who he was offered. He was offered Elvis and he was offered Gary Russell. They can come with that story all they want, but...
So you're saying they never offered him welterweights, as far as you know?
They, from my understanding... And not to get too much involved in business that's not mine, but from my understanding, the amount of money that he wanted, they said, okay, we can give you that money, but, you know, you got to fight these guys for that kind of money. But here are the guys at 140 that we're offering you.
Okay, so he was offered welterweights and 40-pounders. Was Elvis ever one of those offers for Boots?
Yeah. Oh, no. For Boots? No, I thought you were talking about Matias.
Yeah, no, I'm talking... Has Elvis, since Matias was offered to Boots, I'm asking, have they ever asked you, would Elvis move up and fight Boots?
No. Okay. We've been comfortable at 140, and he makes 140 comfortably, you know. So, you know, he's ranked at 140. We're trying to get, you know, one of these guys, you know, to get in that ring with us. And, you know, we're just going to keep fighting and doing what we got to do to force these guys in the ring.
All right. Well, thank the both of you, Elvis. Gracias por siempre, tú sabes, venir al programa y, you know, te deseamos lo mejor. Benny, thank you also for coming on. And till the next one, guys.
Let Matias and Teofimo know that we here if they decide
I'm
to
I'm trying
really
to get them on, man. Coach Panda ducking me.
Put the big point pants on and, you know, they can come and we can make this fight happen, bro.
Let's do it.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Igual. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we're going to be having Mauricio Suleiman. So I am going to need your assistance. I'm going to need a lot of callers because he's not coming on until probably 12 Eastern. That's 11 Central, right, Danny? I mean, Mexico? My bad. They on Central Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he ain't coming on until, you know, 12 p.m. Eastern, which it's not even 12 now. You know, so it's not going to be easy to stay live waiting for that Mauricio interview without receiving an abundance of calls to keep the show flowing. Because, you know, if it goes dead, I'm going to just reschedule. I'm not going to sit around fucking talking to myself. You feel me? But salute to everybody that did drop their questions in, both Patreon and YouTube members for Elvis. You can do the same for Mauricio. And there's quite a few other people there that I'm going to be interviewing. Just go down the page and drop, you know, a question for each. Suleiman, the Scholar phone lines are open. You up first. What it do?
Yes, yes. Hello, hello.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, buenos dias, buenos dias. Yeah, man, I hope they make that fight, man, but Elvis and Sobrero, man. I really want to see that fight. He got a nice style about it. I like the way he converses in interviews. That was an excellent interview, man. So, much enjoyed. So, man, I seen that fight with him and Charles Martin, man. I think this guy is real good, man. When he fights, man, this guy, Jared Anderson, he shows everything good, man. He's like the premier upcoming heavyweight, man. He's getting a lot of compliments. I think he's got to hold his head and keep himself more active. Just like that trainer said in the interview, activity is the key. Keep himself more active, fight 3 or 4 times, like Joseph Parker, the Joe Parker style, 5-4 times a year till something pops off for him real good. I know you got a domino effect of guys waiting on calling, so I'll be patient, and I'll be listening to your show. Great show, man. Excellent, man. Excellent job, man.
You the man, champ. Suleiman the Scholar. James, what up?
Yo, Ness, Danny, you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, who else is up there with you? Marco too?
Yep.
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, cool. Just making sure I address the panel. Yo, man. Hey, shout definitely, man. Hey, shout out to y'all. With this topic right here. Jared Anderson aiming for Wilder. You remember when this shit used to be the Wilder voice like 4 years ago, and I used to always say that, you know, Jared Anderson's good enough right now. And y'all used to be like, he's premature, he ain't developed, this, that, and the third. And I saw back then that he could easily be Wilder. Wilder's falling apart as a fighter. He doesn't seem like he has his he doesn't seem like he's sturdy. He doesn't seem like he has his balance. So I think this will be a signature knockout if he actually gets this fight. I mean, this fight right here is just going to be like a stay busy fight. But if he can actually go into a Wilder fight next, it's going to prove that he's ready for the world. But Jared Anderson, my only problem with him is that he's just really trying to chase the bag because he really wants to get in and out of the sport. But I hope he dominates in the meantime while he's in this sport. So that's easy work, my personal opinion, and I'm willing to take bets on that. To Elvis Rodriguez, he needs to move up to 147 because we can look at the top of the 140 pound campaign. I don't see him being Devin. I don't see him being I don't see him being Pitbull. I don't see him being Hitchens. I don't see him being T.O. I don't see him being any of those guys that we could say is at the top 7 or top 10 of that division. So he might as well move up while everything is in confusion at 147. Again, shout out to y'all. Shout out to the community. I'll check back in later. Peace.
Appreciate the call, champ. Appreciate the call. If you are tuned in, make sure to smash that subscribe button. We need that 250,000. Hit that like button if you want that chat open. If not, we'll gladly stay on members open. 700 likes to unlock.
We got AB. Not AB. AB, not AB. Oh, finally. Finally, Eddie showed me love. Wow. Finally. He fucking reposted my interview from 5 years ago, like I told y'all. Finally, can you come on the show now? God damn it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put you on the call with Shelly Finkel, Tyson Fury, and Wilder. I'm sorry I tried to make history. Come on back, Eddie. What up, baby?
What up, Ness? You can hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the whole Marco and Danny. How y'all doing this morning?
Chilling.
Word. I just wanted to really touch up on from the pro box last night. I only caught the main event, but it was actually really good. Me and my girl sat there and watched it, actually, and it was pretty good. Bias was really good work for Leo. But Leo started to drag away in the later rounds. It was
Bias, man. Yo, I hate them two-round fighters, man. Give you all them high expectations. They come out looking good in two rounds. Then he fucking gasses. And he didn't gas traditionally, but his output dropped. And that's what made Leo take
it
over.
Slowly dropped.
Yeah, bro.
Yep.
That shit is so ass. It's like, bro, don't. It's like, it reminds me of what we was just talking with Elvis, Ergashev. It's like Ergashev goes out there, blow his fucking load, trying to be a badass, and then gets run over.
Yep, that's exactly how it went. Like the first three rounds, it was really, really good work. He was actually, I think he landed, actually scored the first round for Baez, and I think the fourth I might be wrong, but one of those in there, I think he I scored a friend. But, yeah, Leo actually looks really good. It was really good work for him. Yeah, that's pretty much all I really had to say. I know that we're talking about the Jared Anderson and Noah Wilder. I know he's trying to get that fight. Man, I think Jared would honestly
He ain't really trying to get that fight, though. Like, he ain't really trying to get that fight. They're talking about fucking 2025, bro. This is like... Exactly.
This is supposed to be passing the torch, man, the next great American heavyweight. So we need this, man. We need this. But, yeah, that's all I had to say, man. I'll catch up with you guys. I'll keep listening in. Shout out to TVV.
All right. All right, just got word Panda not ducking me. Yeah. He's just fucking always busy, bro. Look, he's in Japan right now. Fuck, is he training Neary? That's why he's in Japan? Has he got Neary, Danny? I don't know either. Fucking hell.
I mean, since you're texting him, how about ask?
Bro, I'm trying to ask you so I don't look dumb that I don't know.
Check his Instagram. I don't know.
It's all good, fam. It's all good. You know? Toledo.
Yo.
Uh-huh.
What up, though? Danny, Marco, what up, though?
What's the word?
It's crack-a-lacking.
Shit, man. Chilling, man. But y'all know what the fuck going on, man. April 13th, man. The real big baby, man. Future heavyweight champion of the world, man. About to knock this motherfucker senseless. But, hey, I'm hearing this shit about a Wilder and whatnot. I don't know about that. I would like us to go get a motherfucking Andy Ruiz, man. Let's knock the dust off his goofy ass. Where he at?
You know where he at. Inactive. That's why you asking for him.
Whoa. Don't do that, man. I'm trying to, whoa. I like that for my guy, man. I hear May 4th coming up, man.
It's like I told the last caller. You could still get that, too, because this Wilder story is for next year. The quotes are for 2025.
Okay, well, in the meantime, you know what, Ness? In the meantime, I said we go to the UK. We're not going to fuck. We're not going to knock your man Worley out, though. We're going to leave him to Fraser Clark. You feel me? He got Clark problems. We're going to let him get that rematch off.
But
we're going to go over there.
Let's the fight that we've been avoiding.
Whoa. He hit a roadblock with Fraser Clark. That ain't our fault. He got his shit split. I forgot you didn't watch
wasn't
the fight,
it a
man.
Draw?
Wasn't it a draw? It shouldn't have been. If you seen the fight, you would say, ooh, shit. But like I say, you didn't see that. We need to get you a Peacock account, goddammit. But that's neither here nor there, Ness. But what I will say is, Joe Joyce, what the fuck you doing? You trying to get your cool ass sent into retirement? You want a Walker game for your cool ass?
Nah.
Let's knock your big ass over. What up? What's going on?
That name
What's
is
for?
Also for 2025. Wilder Zhang Joyce, 2025. He not
man,
ready.
Fuck off. We can feast good. Remember, we can get the plan started early. You feel me? We gonna get this shit. We gonna get the train rolling early. Come November around Christmas time, we gonna dust Joe Joyce off. You feel me? And then Herkovich. Don't think we forgot about your goofy ass. Oh yeah, we on your ass like a diaper ass. Dubois. Like I said, like I told you niggas, man, from Toledo to Tottenham. Goddammit, this is the worldwide tour of torture. We fucking shit up. The future heavyweight champion of the world. Hey, Abra Bell, you can jump on, get you on the undercard too, man. You can fuck up Joe Cordina in UK or something. Yeah, you feel me? I ain't shit, man. From Toledo to Tottenham, this shit is, yeah. Zhang, you in trouble too. From Canton to China, motherfucker. All the way from Ohio to motherfucker, it don't matter. We beat niggas up. This shit is serious. Shout out TBV. Shout out Toledo, Ohio, man. Jared, we need you to do it, man. You the hope, man. I see you got your head on. You got to get your hair right. Just focus on what's in front of you and beat up this merry guy and knock his shit loose. You know what the fuck going on. Y'all be cool, man.
Damn. I just got word.
Trace.
I just got word. It was only 2 rounds of spawn, man. Type shit is that?
2 rounds.
Yeah, but nah, they bringing them in, though. It was too
two,
good,
two
rounds.
Spots, 2 rounds.
I ain't gonna even say. Y'all got to watch the show every day. Y'all piece this shit together. We just was talking about this.
Yeah, I ain't got time for that. You supposed to just text me, champ.
Oh, yeah, that's what I could do.
And,
nah, that's
you want to play riddles and
nah,
puzzles?
Nah, nah, you right. I'm wrong, fam. You could have just, you know, said that. We got on the check-in, Al in the Bay to this day. If you haven't already, subscribe, go ahead and do so. We are at 206,635. We still need more. Need about 400. Get to that next goal, 207,000. Yo, I woke up this morning, and my producer was like, yo, Ness, Eddie brought up your interview, but didn't say nothing, didn't give you no credit. I'm like, man, that motherfucker's still holding grudges. But now I'm in a good mood because he tagged me, and he's like, yo, look at my interview with the Boxing Voice back in 2019. I just hope this means he's coming back on the show. I ain't had Eddie in a minute on the show. Like,
just,
I get him in person, not
context,
on the show.
Just for context, guys, just for context. You know, I never agreed with it, but Ness used to call me the almanac. So Eddie actually made sure to put the date, March of 2019. That is to indicate that was 4 months before he cut Ness off. 4 months before. Well, actually, that wasn't even 4 months. That was probably
I don't even know when it happened, man.
You know, the AJ.
I used to be Eddie's man.
Situation.
I don't know when it happened, bro. We had such a great back and forth. I thought it was good for TV. It helped his profile, you know.
Yo, you remember he had that Louis bag in Boston,
yeah,
with a cash full of money
Wilder. We used to be so cool. I don't know where it all switched, man. He got rid of the three-piece suits. You know, if you look at that interview, he looks so much like his father. So much like his father. Like, the way he dressed, it was old Englishman and everything. He's totally a different dude. Shout out to him running every day and shit. Yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know I need you to hit that thumbs up. We got RRT Boxing with Mr. A, the first $5 Super Chat of the day. He says, Murray does up and down performances, but I'm picking him. Upset. Hashtag Hardeen. Three faces in clouds of Hardeen smoke. Well, wow. You picked them for the upset. Okay. Brambo, he got the $2 super chat, and he says, get ready for Ryan mental health issues. Excuses. Uh-oh. Nah, man, we good. We are 9 days out. Leonard Sterling, two-pounder. Spark beat Gauza. Thought Spark won 6 or 7 rounds. But he ain't get the official win is what you're saying. Raphael Murphy, $2. Run that Kenny Sims fight back. Yeah, Kenny, I don't know what's going on, man. He was supposed to announce. Nothing's happened yet. I'm not getting it, man. Boxing is in a, you know, it's such a whack situation with the whole inactivity, man. Years of lurking, $2.
Tell Jared to come get that AJ smoke, Ness.
2025, man. 2026, that name wasn't there. 2025, he got Wilder, Zhang, Joe Joyce. James
Benitez, $2, said all Jared's legal stuff, 2025 is realistic. I mean, shit. If anything, I feel like he's displaying his advantage, right?
So they got Vlad Hernandez. Let me see this image. I mean, I guess. It's all right, bro. Look, this the type of shit you need, though. Hang on front. Let me screen share this to be official. So there's an OTX tournament, Danny. Did you know? That's dope,
there's
though. I love tournaments.
Enough.
I love tournaments. I remember the Boxino tournaments. I remember the Super 6, World Boxing Super Series.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one with the no headgear that Usyk was in?
The World Series of Boxing?
World Series
of
Boxing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
World Series of Boxing, bro. So now OTX brings you another one. And it looks like the biggest names is Brandon Adams, Abdurakhimov, who's moving up from 47, Vladimir Hernandez, who just lost to Troy Isley. I know who Troy's fighting. Where's Dan the Man at? Dan the Man, you're not there. He usually can piece it together once I give out the clues. Danny, you have you heard already?
I haven't, no.
Spit it out, Ness.
Bro, you know that I'm not that type. I like to keep my sources. I let other people break the news. I just always tell people I know who, and then I give out a small clue.
What's the clue?
All right, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this one without, you know, without dropping
Virgil
the ball.
Ortiz. He's fighting Virgil Ortiz. Dope.
Oh, and I know. That's not announced, right, Danny? Shakur's card?
Nah, I know who co-main, but...
Who you got? Not his little brother? Nope.
Keyshawn?
Ain't no way he co-main. There's no
That's
way.
That's what I was told.
There's no way. There's no way. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. I ain't on front. You know what I'm saying? How could I give you this clue? I'm going to give y'all this clue. That's disrespectful because the rumor is... How could I fucking do this shit? The rumor is there's going to be a champ on the undercard.
Oh, snap.
So... How would they put the silver medalist above the champ? And the double rumor is we all know each other. Not rumor, clue. That was a double clue. I said rumor by mistake. That's it. No more clues. You should know now the three names, the three A-sides on the triple header for Shakur's card now. That's all I can give you. And my source loves to give me shit because he knows this is what I do. He knows I don't say anything, you know. She's always like, oh, you love to be a gossiping. And I'm like, it's fun.
He gave it away.
I mean, I always give it away, but I don't give it away. You have to figure it out. But that did sidetrack me. There was some other information I was giving you, right? And that sidetracked me.
You got Osaki Foster on the card. Okay.
You sidetracked me. What was the other information I was going to give you? Oh, yeah. Troy's opponent.
Word.
Troy's opponent.
Virgil Ortiz, man. We know.
Troy's opponent. The clue will be Border Wars. That's it. CYP, you in there. That's all the real listeners. Any real listeners, you know who Troy's fighting. Ha! CYP is on you.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some people talking about passing of the torch, right? And you know, when it comes to Wilder tank situations, I got to do me. Look, fuck all that. That nigga Wilder fucking, 14, 15 years older than this nigga Jared right now. I'm going to run some history to y'all. Y'all remember when Larry Holmes so-called passed the torch to Mike Tyson? That was a 17-year age gap. He knocked his ass out in four rounds. That ain't passing no goddamn torch. That's a fucking ass whooping. Y'all remember when Larry Holmes fought Ali? That was an 8-year age difference. He knocked him out in the 10th round. If you think about it, this heavyweight torch passing shit ain't never ended right for the nigga passing the torch. Fuck that. Pay attention. But then I also sense some hypocrisy, right? Because if you look at the age gap between Benavidez and Canelo, motherfucker, that's about 7 years. Ain't nobody talking about passing no torch there. You look at the age gap between Bud and Boots. Shit, that's about 8 years, nine. They ain't talking about passing the torch there. And those are fights that, in my opinion, are more realistic. than Jared Anderson, who's 24 years old, fighting Wilder, who's fucking 39 years old. Let that shit go. Let that fuck all that. Wilder, if you're listening, no. No, let that young man build his career on his own. Don't fall for that shit, because we've seen history play out. That shit don't work so well for the torch passer. All the nigga do is end up getting flamed. Getting flamed. Fuck that torch. Fuck that. That's all I got to say on that point. I'll be back for the next topic.
All right, CYP. Appreciate the call.
See, yesterday's show was about Boots Ennis signing the match room, you know, and we get a lot of these gangbangers, man. But look, Boots went from B-side to A-side that quick. Eddie Hearn has revealed Jerron Boots Ennis' next fight will be the ordered mandatory defense. The one that couldn't happen. The one that they had still been negotiating. You feel me? Now, all of a sudden, that's easy peasy. Ready to rock and roll. Plus, that's two BBC fighters not going to be fighting on DAZN. Because that means now that Cody will be fighting on DAZN. Cody Crowley. Sorry for the dead air. Trying to get this quick interview.
Twitter Spaces and Discord is available if you guys want to call in, voice your thoughts and opinion.
Alan the Bay, what do you say?
Okay, I think I can hear y'all now. Hello?
Yep.
Okay. Well, man, I couldn't hear nothing. Yeah, so Jerry Anderson, Wilder. I think Wilder will be ready for the picking. The picking of the rest of his bones, if he decides to. I think that's why. You know, he's not the boogeyman no more. Kind of like a shell of himself. Answer the question that he had. Bud and Boots wouldn't be a passing of the torch because Bud do not fight in that weight class anymore. He don't fight. Now, if Boots decides to just go up the next level to 54, then it'll be like a passing of a torch. But he's not at 54. He's at 47.
Boots was just interviewed by Matchroom, and he said he's willing to take on everybody at 47 and 54. This was, like, yesterday, I think he said.
Yeah, I've seen that. But, you know, he's not really ready for 54. There's some rumors that are being swirled around by Deontay Wilder's cousin, Tay Jones, that Boots was offered the Tim Tszyu fight before Keith and didn't take it because he was already in negotiations with Matchroom. Which could be true because yesterday Boots said he's been talking to Matchroom for, you know, a few months now. So, there's some possible reasons there. It's like, yo, you know, why wouldn't you take the Tszyu fight? But, again, you can't force me to move up. If that's true, I'm not ready to move up. Maybe that's why I left your company because I ain't ready to move up. You ain't even give me no welterweight fights. And the first name you throw me is a 54 name.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be the passing of a torch. Now, Benavidez and Canelo would be a passing of a torch. They're in the same weight division. Canelo literally fights in that division. But Benavidez looking like he's trying to move up. But that would be a passing of the torch. So it all depends. So when he said that, you got to depend on what weight class the person is in and if they're actually fighting in that weight class now. But, yeah, man, Jared Anderson, definitely if he wins this fight in a good fashion, I wouldn't mind him fighting Wilder. It kind of gives Wilder another look. Can you beat the young guy? Because he's on a down slope right now. But I think he should definitely go fight Daniel Dubois. Daniel Dubois still has a good name out there, and he's young. You know, you gotta take out their young lion out there in Britain. So you know, I think that would be a better fight for him, because where Dubois is in his career and where Anderson is, they're at crossroads. One's going to be the next great, one's going to be the next fate. So, no, you gotta go fight them guys to build your name up. And so, yeah, that's just the way I look at it, you know. He could go right into the Wilder fight, but I think he should beat Dan Dubois first, get some of that UK love, and then go fight Wilder. That's my call.
All right, champ. We got Copy. Cool. What it do?
What's going on, gentlemen? What's going on?
What up with you?
What's the word?
Shit, man. You're getting my ass to work. Yeah, man. I feel like, you know, that's a big step for him to take. You know, Jared Anderson, I would rather see him fight a guy like Jermaine Frankman, or a guy like Michael Hunter, even at Cuban heavyweight, Perez is his name, Mike Perez, like guys like that, because I feel like that's a big step to take, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think he's ready for the big stage. You know, we saw him have problems with this guy. He got hurt by old boy, kid with dreads. What's his name? His last fight. He took on 2 weeks' notice.
I think you're talking about Charles Martin.
Yeah, Charles Martin. So we saw him get hurt by Charles Martin. We saw him get, you know, so those are the things that come to mind for him to step in the ring with a guy like Deontay Wilder. That's a whole, that's like going from AAA, you know, to the big league, or AA to the big leagues, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just think that it's not meant for him to do yet. You know, I would rather see him before stepping in there even find a guy like Luis Ortiz, you know, if you want to put a big name. And or back to the drawing board like we've been calling for a very long time, you know, big baby versus big baby. You know, that's a fight that everybody's been calling for since well, you know, and it's a big name. I get it. These guys are coming from losses. Luis Ortiz is inactive, you know, coming off of a loss, I believe. But these are all names that are giving that stepping stone to fight guys like a Deontay Wilder or the upper echelons of the heavyweight. I don't think he's ready to sit there and call out a Deontay Wilder. And I know you said that it's for 2000 for next year, right? But still, you know, I think that there's steps to be made in that division. And I don't think he's for the caliber of fighters to actually sit there and fight or compare himself with these guys, you know? I know he's cutting his career short because he, like you were talking about earlier, he doesn't feel like, you know, he doesn't agree with the business. But, you know, you're going to get hurt out there if you skip steps, you know. And I feel like that's where I know a lot of people are big on him, but I feel like he's not tested. And I feel like we've been rushing these younger fighters and not proving themselves. And then when they go and prove themselves, go attempt to prove themselves and get hurt, they're the first ones to fucking kick them off, you know. Kick them away and say they weren't, you know, they're not what they're meant to be. But no, it's just their steps. You got to build them. I mean, you're big on that shit, and that's building a fighter and putting them in the ring, you know. And I think that this is a case for Jared where he hasn't really had the opportunity to build himself to step like that anyway, you know. Again, you know, I would like to see him fight a guy like Michael Hunter. I would like to see him fight a guy like a Jabba. Like, those guys are up and coming. Like, Frank Sanchez, you know, those guys that are in the same level as him are coming up in that same school as him, that graduating class as him, you know, and before stepping up with those guys. That's all I got, man.
Okay, copy. Cool. Moose, what it do? Moose, give me a minute. Subriel, ¿cómo está?
Era, saludos.
Por
me
fin,
le escapé ahí a mi manejador.
Por fin te puedo tener en el programa.
Coño, me gusta porque hablas español, el mismo idioma mío.
No, no, y tengo al compañero mío que habla español mejor, porque yo nací aquí en los Estados Unidos, y también el programa de nosotros, la audiencia es americano, so yo voy a hablar en inglés y él te va a traducir. Tú no lo puedes ver, pero él está ahí, mi compañero se llama Dani. Daniel, ¿quieres introducirte?
Ok. Pregunta que le hago, jefe,
¿cómo
escucho
está?
Bien?
¿Cómo está? ¿Todo bien?
Saludos, jefe.
Saludos, saludos. Entonces yo le traduzco, aunque mi compañero es de allá de las islas, yo soy mexicano.
Sí,
pero
yo soy caribeño, pero es que como quiera, tú sabes, es mejor tener una persona que te traduzca.
No los dos, mi hermano.
¿Estamos bien para empezar, Subriel? We lost him. Damn it. Check, check.
Yo soy bulgariano.
Damn it,
we
lost
him. I had to feel involved somehow, so I told him.
He probably felt the way you ain't want to talk to him in y'all later time, now.
Well, and that doesn't spit Spanish well? Sounds like he spits it well to me.
We'll see.
We'll
give him a second to jump back on. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up because of the potential interview. He was there, and hopefully we can get him back.
That's dope, though.
Damn.
But nonetheless, Discord and Twitter Spaces is the way to call in.
Oh, here we go.
There we go, there we go.
Jefe. ¿Me escucha ahora?
No, no, yo lo escucho. Lo que pasa es que estoy buscando audífonos. A ver si puedo escucharle mejor.
Oh, ya.
Excúsame.
Ya. Sí, no, yo te escucho bien, pero te entiendo también. Si necesita audífono, coge el minuto, si necesita buscarlo.
Y es raro, pues, es que ya se escuchen, que está conectado.
But for those tuned in, feel free to go ahead and drop him a question. I'm pretty sure I have a post put up. And,
he's just getting some headphones together.
Yeah, he wants to get some headphones so they can hear us a little bit better. We're going to be interviewing the IBF champ, 140-pound division, Sabril Matias, in just a bit, once he's able to connect his headphones. But I think it's causing him a glitch because it looks like they froze again. Damn it. Well, in that time, I will try and pull up his posts here, make sure we have that. Don't forget, you could drop a question for Eddie Hearn, for Jose and David Benavidez. Those interviews still have not gotten done, and I plan on doing it. Lucas Body is in there as well. We got, where is this bro? All right, I think he's back.
No pude conectar los audífonos, no sé qué pasa.
Bueno, ¿me escuchas como quiera?
Sí, sí, te escucho.
Okay. So basically he was saying he couldn't find the headphones, he don't know what's going on, but we're just going to go ahead and conduct the interview as is, Danny. Let him know, we just had Elvis Rodriguez on the show and his manager that both obviously had some choice words for him and claimed that, you know, he did not take that fight. I guess that's the first way we're going to start after you tell him, you know, thank you for coming on and all that great stuff.
No, pues, Uriel, antes que nada, te queremos agradecer por tu tiempo y por acompañarnos aquí en el programa. Obviamente, campeón mundial es un honor para nosotros. Queremos empezar con saberte decir que apenas acabamos de tener a Elvis Rodríguez y su manejador Benny, y pues honestamente tuvieron mucho que decir de usted y que usted rechazó la pelea con ellos. Tuvieron mucho que decir. No sé si pudo oír o vio lo que dijeron, pero queremos empezar ahí.
No, que voy a escuchar yo ese payaso, que no diga eso. Él no es peleador. O sea, permita a Dios y se dé la pelea para que él vea lo que es rechazar una pelea. Cuando él diga no más, tía.
He says, what am I gonna be doing listening to that clown? He ain't a fighter. He don't know nothing about the sport. He said, what
dile
do I look like turning down a fight?
Que enviaron, si es que enviaron contrato, a ver si es verdad que yo rechacé alguna pelea. Él nunca tuvo en conversación. De hecho, posiblemente, si no me equivoco, pregúntale por qué no quiso pelear con Alfredo Santiago, el que habla de rechazar pelea.
So he says, if I turned down a fight, ask him if he got a contract, which he obviously told us, Benny did, that they did not. And he said, if you want to talk about turning down a fight, ask him why did they turn down Alfredo Santiago. Este sí nos dijo que no recibieron contrato, pero que estaban, que se lo iban a mandar, que se lo iban a mandar, y que después, que siempre a la última hora, que cambiaron de oponente, y también nos dijo de Santiago, y que la razón que no tomaron la pelea porque no les garantizaron la pelea contigo.
Según él, ¿por qué fue? Porque no le garantizaron pelea conmigo. Si ahora mismo Hitchin
sí,
está primero,
dijo,
que él, yo tengo que ganar ahora el 15 de junio. ¿Por qué no
dijo,
dice la verdad? Que le tiene miedo.
So he says, why did I have to be guaranteed next when I have an obligation to fight Hitchens and I have to take care of my business first, June 15th?
Ask him, but does he see why Elvis wouldn't take the Alfredo fight, since the ultimate goal is to fight him? And if they can't guarantee it because of the circumstances, does he at least understand that?
Dice que si, mi compañero quiere saber que si entiendes por lo menos por qué no tomó la pelea con Santiago, porque obviamente tú estás ocupado y no le podían garantizar la pelea contigo.
Con el respeto que se merece Elvis Rodríguez, él no está en posición de estar exigiendo nada. Él tiene que coger la pelea que le pongan de turno para que siga escalando. Él no es nadie ahora mismo. Él tiene que ganar pelea y esperar la oportunidad. Lo mismo que pasó conmigo y que pasa con muchos peleadores.
He said, with all due respect to Elvis Rodriguez, he is a nobody to turn down a fight. He is in no position to be turning down a fight. In the position he is right now, he has to be accepting fights, keep building, keep growing the same way I've done it and the same way many others have done it before me.
Ask him, does he feel grateful and, in a good place, because he went from hunted, or rather hunter, to being hunted right now. He's got Haney calling him out, Tio calling him out, Elvis calling him out. A few weeks ago, he was the boogeyman, and no one wanted to fight him.
Que si te sientes un poco agradecido, porque antes tú eras el que estaba buscando por todas las peleas, llamando a todos los campeones, y ahora los campeones también quieren pelear contigo, y hay otros rivales, prospectos que también quieren pelear contigo, que si se siente un poco mejor estar en esta posición a como estabas hace tal vez un año y medio para atrás.
Claro que sí, ¿por qué no? Si es lo que yo estaba esperando. Y es algo que yo me he ganado. No fue que me lo regalaron. Yo lo he demostrado en cada pelea.
Of course, he said, of course, this is what I've been wanting. And let's be clear, this is what I've earned. This is what I've worked for. None of this was given to me. I've worked to be in this position.
Tell him to talk to us about, what it means to him to finally get this fight back in Puerto Rico on the big stage. We know he was offered a potential fight with Top Rank in New York for Puerto Rican Parade, but it's not the same as going back to La Isla. So just for him to tell us what that means for him.
No, pues platícanos un poco. Obviamente el 15 de junio regresas a la isla y no nomás para cualquier pelea, o sea, para defender tu título mundial contra Liam Paro. Sé que te ofrecieron a Top Rank, te ofreció pelea para el fin de semana de independencia de Puerto Rico allá en Nueva York, pero es diferente. Vas a regresar a la isla y vas a regresar como campeón mundial, obviamente. Primera vez en 5 años que peleas allá. Háblanos un poco de la pelea y cómo te sientes regresar para Puerto Rico.
Contento primero con Dios, porque
amén.
Mi última pelea fue un 30 de noviembre del 2019. Luego de eso tuve mi derrota y pues quizás pensaron que se me había acabado la carrera. Y Dios me está dando la oportunidad en esta ocasión de volver frente a mi gente, la misma que me hizo, siendo campeón. Y para mí es un orgullo. Y de paso me gustaría, ¿verdad?, decirle a Elvis Rodríguez que yo, cuando perdí, cuando yo me apegué del ring, yo pensaba, yo quería la revancha. Y jodí a mi promotor hasta que la consiguió. Y todos vieron lo que pasó. Luego de esa pelea, fue que se me dio la oportunidad de título mundial. Todo es un proceso en la vida.
He says, look, you know, I'm as happy as can be. The last time I fought in my home country was November 30th of 2019, nearly 5 years ago. And right after that, I suffered my first defeat. I begged and begged and begged my promoter for the rematch. And we all saw what happened in that. So, you know, I want to let that be known to Elvis. You just got to keep going. You just got to keep taking the fights, you know, and right your wrongs.
Ask him, is he basically insinuating that he would like to see Elvis first fight Kenny Sims and avenge that loss? Or is he just simply making a general statement?
Subriel, entonces eso quiere decir que a ti te gustaría ver la revancha con Elvis Rodríguez y Kenny Sims, que quien le ganó, o nomás estás, o sea, haciendo comentarios.
No, a mí en lo personal no, porque si mañana me dicen que peleo con él, voy a hacer mi trabajo. Pero le estoy dando un detalle. Yo nunca busqué excusa cuando perdí. Yo me quedé callado y entrené hasta que se me dio la oportunidad y demostré con hechos. Y después fue que dije lo que pasó conmigo. ¿Sabes? No me llené la boca diciendo que yo perdí por esto, porque no entrené, porque, ¿sabes? Yo me quedé callado, aguanté, peleé con 3 invictos, con 2 invictos, y luego peleé con Anania, y ya ustedes vieron lo que pasó.
Así es. He's like, look, I could care less what he does. At the end of the day, I'm here to do my job. If they call me tomorrow and they say no more Paro and it's now Elvis, then I'm going to continue to do my job and now be getting ready for him. But at the end of the day, I'm still letting him know the details of how things went. I didn't make any excuses. I took my defeat. I fought 2 undefeated fighters back to back. And then I got the rematch. I got the victory. And then I let it be known what I was going through and what happened. But until I got that victory over Petros, I didn't let anybody know what was going on.
So when he
I talks, made no excuses.
So when he talks about what was going on, is he talking about, you know, revealing to the world that he was previously smoking marijuana?
Cuando dices que
fumaba marihuana, bebía, me amanecía, pero obviamente yo no tenía que decirle eso luego de la derrota. Yo lo dije después que la vengué y todos vieron el resultado. Si él me ganó un asalto, fue mucho.
He's like, look, it wasn't just the weed. I was drinking. I was partying all night. But at the end of the day, I didn't have to let that be known or make that excuse after I lost. I waited till I avenged the loss, and then I let that be known, hey, that's what I was going through. But I waited till that loss was avenged first.
Now tell him this is my own personal, like, fulfillment in this question and answer. It has nothing to do, you know, with sport or shaming. So does he not smoke at all? And is it because of the competition? Like, he realized, you know, you just can't because of the competition? Or does, you know, does he at least take a tote once in a blue? As a fellow smoker, explain to him, I'm a fellow smoker.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's coming from that standpoint, not like a shameful one.
I got you. Mi compañero quiere saber, Subriel. Esta pregunta es solo para su cumplimiento, porque él es alguien que ha fumado por muchos, muchos años, pero quiere saber que si la cortaste completamente o que si de vez en cuando, si fumas o que si te diste cuenta que en este nivel no puedes andar fumando.
Ahora mismo.
No,
sí,
no en campamento, digo yo, quiero saber, como yo fumo todos los días, so, cada vez que yo escucho a una persona, no, yo dejé de fumar, yo, el diablo, ¿y por qué? Yo sé que por ti, tus razones
no,
son,
yo.
No, yo sé que tus razones
mí,
son,
además,
fueron peleadores.
Además de mi carrera, yo estaba en probatoria, ¿sabes? Por culpa de dar un positivo en aquel momento, me extendieron la probatoria. Ahora mismo yo no quiero saber de ella, ¿sabes? Y a mí lo que me jodió no fue fumar, sino que yo dejé de fumar la semana de la pelea. Eso fue lo que me jodió. Me quedé sin fuerza, sin nada, no comía, el apetito no me llegaba. Y yo fumaba a diario, ¿qué? 10, 12, no sé, algo ridículo.
¿10, 12 qué?
¿Leño?
No, pues nomás me estoy asegurando porque carajo. So he said,
no, yo era de los que creía que mientras más fumaba, más la nota se elevaba.
Se suba.
Eso era mi pensar.
So he says, look, you know, the issue wasn't so much the smoking, it was the fact that I was doing it a lot. I was on probation because of it, because I had a positive test. And then on top of that, I chose to stop smoking the week of the fight. So I didn't have energy. I didn't have an appetite. You know, it really affected me.
He said that the positive test extended the probation. Yeah, so, you know, yo solamente quería saber, porque como yo fumo diario, tú sabes, yo siempre pienso,
sí.
¿Cómo voy a dejar? Yo no quiero dejarlo, tú sabes.
Te digo algo. Si yo llego a fumar hasta el día de la pelea, yo me hubiera subido en peso normal. Si busca la pelea, para que veas el físico con el que yo subí ese día. ¿Sabes? Yo no, el apetito no me... ¿Sabes? Date cuenta que se me cerró el estómago.
Sí, sí, sí. Subió. Es que
entonces,
la marihuana hace eso.
Wait,
te quita
wait,
el apetito
so,
a veces. La gente piensa que te da hambre, pero eso es para los que empezaron a fumar hoy. Pero ya si tú tienes tiempo fumando... Y tú fumas, no te va a dar hambre así, te quita la hambre. Para mí, anyway, yo creo que todo el mundo puede ser diferente.
Dura 5 días sin fumar. Sí.
Preso nada más. tiene que ser Jesucristo que me diga, oye, Néstor, deja eso. Y yo, está bien, papá Dios, ya, se acabó. No. Es
bueno,
que...
mi consejo para la juventud, hecho, en verdad no lo hagan. De verdad no pasen por eso. Hecho, yo pasé las de Caín en esa semana. La ansiedad, quería estar, pero tacho, no podía.
Pero otra vez, tú dices como peleador.
No como peleador y como persona.
Oh, ok.
Definitivamente.
Okay.
Pero Subriel, tú lo que estás diciendo, que tú piensas que te afectó más parar. Entonces,
en ese
que
momento,
si hubieras
sí.
seguido fumando la semana de la pelea, ¿tú crees que no te hubiera afectado tanto o estoy entendiendo
no.
mal?
No. Porque hubiera comido normal. Al yo dejar de fumar, pues, ¿sabes? La ansiedad de querer, pues, no me daba a pensar ni en comida, nada.
Mm.
Ni líquido, o sea, no aguanté.
Translate, that's a lot, Danny.
Yeah, so I was asking him... because I just want to make sure it sounded like he was saying he felt that him stopping smoking the week of the fight affected him more than if he would have kept smoking as he had been doing throughout the camp. And he said that that's what it was, that he couldn't get an appetite. He didn't have the energy. He was so used to it that and him stopping made him anxious. So he said that the shape he was in, had he kept smoking, he would have been on weight. He's like, just go look at the shape I was in going into that fight.
So ask him that he must feel, I guess, is the right word to use, proud of Keyshawn for coming out and admitting and also quitting?
Que si te sientes un poco orgulloso, últimamente vimos que también Keyshawn Davis salió después de su positivo, salió y dijo que él también dejó la marihuana y habló de la forma que la marihuana lo afectó negativamente adentro del ring.
Realmente, ¿verdad? Cada persona entiendo yo que es un libreto aparte, ¿no? Pero mi respeto, aceptó que cometió un error. Creo que eso es de hombre, ¿sabes? Malo es tú buscar excusa.
He says, look, I think everybody's story is different, and we all go through different things, but what he did, you know, takes a man to do. He realized that it was affecting him. He owned up to it, and, you know, it takes a real man to be able to do that.
So ask him his thoughts on Liam Parra. Obviously, tell him you and I have gotten to see Liam Parra firsthand, and, you know, he's proven to be durable. What is his, I guess, you know, inner feeling on why the fight with Parra took so long to manifest, a fight that we known about since last year?
Háblanos un poco de Liam Parra, ¿qué tanto sabes? Nosotros aquí lo hemos visto porque hace mucho entrenamiento y guanteo aquí en Las Vegas. Y también háblanos por qué tardó esa pelea en hacerse, porque era pelea que nosotros desde a finales del año pasado, a inicios de este año, ya teníamos los rumores que se oían aquí en la ciudad.
Pues mira, realmente de Liam Parra te puedo decir que tiene mi respeto, ¿sabes? Aceptar el reto, es un gran peleador, es fuerte. Sería mi número 9 en mi carrera, zurdo. Creo que va a ser una pelea de la explosiva. De hablar sobre lo que estaba pasando, ¿verdad?, detrás de lo que es las negociaciones, pues no tengo datos porque ya yo no sabe, yo no soy promotor, sino Juan Iván Orengo y mi manejador Pedro Cruz, ellos son los que se encargan, ¿verdad?, de hacer las negociaciones.
He says, look, when it comes to Liam Parra, he has my respect. He accepted the challenge. I know he's a good fighter. I know he's a strong fighter. He is the 9th southpaw I have faced in my career. So, you know, when it comes to Liam Parra, I can say that much. When it comes to the negotiations, however, I really can't say much from behind the scenes. You know, when it comes to doing my business, you got Juan Urango, my manager, that deals with that, and my promoter that deals with that. But the fight is made, and I'm excited for June 15th.
Ask him, obviously, when he and I met, he was at the Edgar Belanga fight. Is that a person that he would be okay with having on the co-main event for June 15th?
Mi compañero dice que cuando te conoció fue en la cartelera de Berlanga en la Florida hace unos meses. Y que si él siendo puertorriqueño, americano, que si te gustaría tenerlo en tu cartelera, tal vez como coestelar, pelea coestelar de la noche, siendo que tiene la sangre puertorriqueña.
Realmente eso no está en mis manos, ¿sabes? Lo que yo quiera o no, a mí en lo personal no me compete. Creo que Berlanga es un gran peleador, lo ha demostrado. Pero, ¿verdad? No te puedo decir si sí o no, porque realmente yo no soy el que armo el schedule de las peleas, ¿no?
De la cartelera.
Hubiera sido bufiado. Y primero Dios, quien quita y en un futuro cercano estemos juntos en una cartelera.
He says, look, at the end of the day, that's out of my control. who they put as the co-main event. He's a great fighter. He has shown that he's a great fighter. You know, but that's not in my control. I don't, you know, it's not my job to put the undercard together. I don't have any say in that. What I will say, though, is that because he's a great fighter, for me, it'd be an honor one day to share a card with him.
Ask him, does he have more time? Because we got a couple of questions from the people. It's about 10. You don't have to say the number, but just make sure he's got a couple more minutes for us.
Todavía tienes tiempo, Subiel. Tenemos unas cuantas preguntas más antes de terminar la entrevista.
La resta de las preguntas son de la aficionada.
Sí.
Okay. So the first one is from Against the Ropes, and he says, "Hola, Matias. Been a fan of you since your last three fights. Since Boots just got signed to Matchroom and was on PBC with you, is that a fight you're interested in? You're both IBF champs, 40 and 47."
Esta pregunta quieren saber, obviamente, acaban de...
No, yo le entendí.
Jerron Ennis ayer.
Danny, he said he understood
what?
It. He said he understood it.
Oh, okay.
Es lo mismo que él baja 40 y pelee por mi título. Yo también soy campeón en la 140. Entonces, yo estoy en un peso, él está en otro. Si él baja la 140, ¿por qué no? Yo lo recibo.
Pero no para arriba, entonces. Tú no estás listo para mover.
What do you say? What do you say?
Hold on.
Ahora mismo no.
Okay.
Ahora mismo no. Hay planes y queremos hacerlo realidad.
All right. So he said, yeah, why not? I'm a champion at 40. He's a champion at 47. But he could fight for my title. If he want to come down, I'll receive him at 40. But I'm not ready to go to 47. We got plans and we need to accomplish those plans. But I love
Damn,
that answer.
Yo, that should take my translating job, yo. That was superb.
That was good.
Déjate de eso. No, es que como tú la... Esa respuesta me gustó, como respondiste eso. So tenía que... Estás seguro que ellos lo entendían. We got the next one coming from King the Dream here in Orlando. He says, saw you at the Berlanga fight in Orlando. You got a lot of love from the people. With such a large Puerto Rican population in Orlando, would you like to fight there one day?
Esta pregunta
claro
viene
me
de
gustaría.
King en la Florida.
Oh, Danny, he understood
oh,
it again.
Oh, okay.
I understand. Sorry. I understand a little bit English.
No, that's good.
No, claro, me gustó. Realmente no, me sorprendí, para ser honesto, ya que fue, ¿verdad?, mi primera vez en un evento en Orlando que presencié. Y el público, mano, me acogió de una manera que me quedé como que, wow, esto es real. ¿Y por qué no? Claro que me gustaría pelear frente a mi gente en Orlando, sea New York, sea Puerto Rico, ¿sabes? Creo que Puerto Rico, a pesar de ser un país chiquito, es grande.
He says, look, I was very happy with the reception I got. To be quite honest, I was surprised. I was like, wow, is this real? You know, I was received with so much love. So, of course, for me, it would be an honor to fight in front of my Puerto Rican people, whether it be in Orlando or even New York. Obviously, Puerto Rico is a small island, but I think that we have a lot of people and a lot of support. So, absolutely would love to fight there.
Marco, you got one?
Yeah, I got one. Subriel, what's up? I want to ask, of the other four stars at 140, or 135, 140, because I kind of bunched them in together. We got, you know, Devin, Shakur, Tank, and
Tio.
And Tio. Who do you think would give you the easiest time? And I know nothing's easy. And who do you think would probably be the most challenging of those four?
¿Sí le entendiste?
Un poquito. ¿Me puedes decir más o menos?
¿Quieres saber de las grandes peleas que están disponibles? Obviamente hay varios en 40 y varios peleadores en las 30. Gervonta Davis, Devin Haney, Teofimo López. ¿Qué más dijiste, Marco?
Shakur.
Y Shakur Stevenson. De esas cuatro, ¿quién tú ves que te dé la pelea más fácil y la pelea más difícil? Y dice que obviamente en este nivel... No es fácil, pero de esos cuatro, ¿quién tú crees que sea la pelea más fácil para ti y la pelea más difícil para ti?
Pues mira,
para mí la pelea más difícil y más emocionante para el público lo es Pitbull Cruz, ¿sabes? Eso es la pelea que el mundo quiere ver, por encima de todos los antes mencionados, por el simple hecho que somos dos latinos, somos fogosos y son dos banderas que amistosamente tienen una guerra.
He says, look, with all due respect to the names you just mentioned, the fight that gets me the most excited, and I think the fight the people would rather see over those four would be Pitbull Cruz. You know, we have two great styles. We're action-packed. We come forward. We come to fight. And, you know, I don't really have to mention the long-lasting rivalry between the Mexican flag and the Puerto Rican flag. So I think that fight would be my fight of preference that I would rather have, that I think would provide the most exciting for the four. Entonces, ¿quién se te hace más fácil? Esa pelea con Pitbull es la más grande para ti, la más emocionante, pero ¿cuál es de los cuatro que mencionó? Entonces, ¿quién se te hace pelea más fácil?
Es que ellos son peleadores, sí, pelean bonito y de todo, pero ellos no venden, ¿sabes? Entonces, para mí, ellos no, ¿sabes? Ahora mismo no representan algo que yo quisiera. El otro que puede hacer una pelea gufía es Teófimo. Y eso es lo que es un cobarde.
¿Por qué tú piensas que era un cobarde? Porque él dice que él te mandó una oferta y era tú que tenía la mano lastimada y no podía coger la oferta.
Claro, dame una oferta.
Dame traducir. So I said, why do you think T.O. is a coward?
Well, I mean, you ask and translate everything else that was said before that, champ. The question, I don't even remember, bro. You just kept going.
No, I was going to translate. That's what I'm saying. I was going to translate what I asked him.
You were starting from your question. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he called T.O. a coward.
So then the question was, or the response was the Pitbull Cruz, which I said. And then I asked him, well, if you think that is the best fight available, who do you think is the easiest fight? And he said the problem with those guys is that none of them sell. And that none of them have anything to offer that he wants at the moment. He said the only other that I think would make sense and would be a big fight or a good fight is Teofimo Lopez, but he's a coward.
Well, doesn't Tank sell?
Dijiste que los cuatro que no venden y que no tienen nada para ofrecerte. En tu opinión, Gervonta Davis, obviamente él vende, si él subiera a las 40 libras otra vez, como lo hizo con Mario Barrios, ¿esa pelea no te interesa?
Claro que sí, y las veces que ha vendido ha sido con latino. Búsquenlo el resumen, eso no falla.
He said, of course, I'd like that fight at 40. He's like, and look it up. Look at his resume. Every single time he sold, it's always been with a Latino.
Y a él yo lo considero un guerrero. Él goza de mi respeto. Porque es un peleador inteligente, fuerte, pelea, boxea. Él goza de mi respeto.
He said,
que para mí sería
Davis,
un honor pelear con frente a él.
He says that Gervonta Davis has his respect, that he's a warrior, that he's a smart fighter, that he boxes, he bangs, and he does, you know, business the right way, that he'd love to fight him someday.
Well, one more question.
He said it would be an honor. Go ahead.
One more question, if you don't. Subra, how important is it for you to continue that 100% knockout streak?
¿Qué tan importante es para ti seguir con tu carrera puro knockout?
Entiendo que para mí lo personal no es como cuando perdí, ¿sabes? Me quitó un miedo de encima. Quizás el fanático que vea eso, pues va a querer ver las peleas que ustedes están diciendo que quieren ver. Quizás el porciento de knockout obliga al fanático a exigir las peleas que todo el mundo quiere ver.
Compadre, usted... una persona súper inteligente, sabe mucho sobre sobre el boxeo, man. Danny, translate.
You or him? No, that was a rhetorical question. That was rhetorical. That was rhetorical.
I hear
you. Just keep making it harder to translate. So he says that. Fuck, what'd he say, champ?
He said that power and the knockout percentage.
Oh, yes, hopefully... the knockout streak. He says that for him, it's kind of like the loss, that when he lost, it just took a weight off his shoulders. So he says for him, he feels indifferent about it, but he understands from the business side, you know, the fans seeing that knockout and seeing that 100% knockout ratio, not just want to see him fight, but will demand for him to be in those other big fights because they understand he's a strong puncher.
Beautiful answers.
And I got a mention for Haney. Haney, don't mention my name. And the chicken father, Bill Haney, don't talk in shit, please. Dile que se enfoque en vender en esta pelea. Que las últimas peleas que él ha hecho en pay-per-view, que tenemos el resumen, y él no vende. Si con Ryan García, que vendió con el Bond 1 millón, él no vende ni 500, dile que se puede retirar.
Holy shit. This guy's on fire tonight, Danny.
What was that part?
He said, yo, I'm going to translate everything. You ain't gotta ask every single time. So he said that he has a message for Haney, which he said in English. And then he said, tell him to focus on selling his fight. Javante sold $1 million with Ryan. He can't even sell 500 on pay-per-view. He just needs to retire. He said,
Wait. He said...
Y mira,
espérate.
Parece que bajaron los precios de las taquillas porque no se estaban vendiendo. Ese es otro dato.
Dame un segundo para traducirlo bien. So basically, he said that he's got Haney's resume. And in this last few fights, he has not been selling on pay-per-view. He's about to fight with a common opponent with Tank. Tank did over $1 million. If Haney can't sell at least 500 with Ryan, tell him to retire. And then he just came back and said, listen, another fact is we have the receipts. They've dropped the prices of the tickets. So he's not a seller, essentially, is what. Because, you know, he said that in another comment, and then Danny, you know, acts like, you don't think they sell, and we brought up Tank. So he's definitely doubling down that Haney needs to make an impression this time around.
Una cosa es el bueno, y otra es que lo quieran. Y a él nadie lo quiere ver. Él da sueño.
You got that one?
He said that, he said that one thing is that you're good. Another thing is people wanting to see you. And they don't want to see him because he makes people sleepy.
Now, just to defend Haney and Bill, Sabriel, they're going to say you are just saying that because his style
Disculpa. A él nadie, oye, por lo menos a Mayweather, cuando compraban, aunque sea para perder, lo veían. A él ni a eso lo quieren ver.
And he taking shots.
He said that with Mayweather, at least people paid to watch him lose, but nobody wants to even see Devin fight.
Yeah, that he's saying they're not even paying to.
Oye, Subriel, también, nomás porque vi que puso últimamente, puso hace unos días, que a esta edad él ha vendido más que los demás, porque a esta edad ellos ni estaban en pay-per-view ni a este nivel. Siendo
bueno,
obviamente Mayweather y Spence, y quiero decir que también Crawford.
Él debutó temprano, él debutó en México, ¿no fue? Con 10 y tantos años, ¿sabes? No todo el mundo debutó a esa edad.
Sí, sí. So I asked him, I said, well, you know, their defense, just because I've seen them posted recently, is that at 25 years old, he sold more than everybody else because they weren't on pay-per-view at this age. And he said that it's only because he debuted at a young age in Mexico.
So tell him that I want to say in the defense of the Haneys, I know that they will, you know, Bill will come on here who frequents the show regularly to make sure you tell him that. And we'll say that Sabriel is making excuses because he knows Haney's style is a difficult style.
So you saying that's what they're going to say?
El papá es un joker.
This guy's on.
Oye, una cosa es lo que el papá diga y otra es lo que va a pasar el día de la pelea. El hijo se puede mover, puede correr, puede hacer lo que sea. Es más, me puede agarrar y yo lo voy a cansar y le voy a dar, que el padre va a decir, ¿sabes qué? Tú eres mi hijo, te voy a parar la pelea. Eso es lo que va a pasar. Si es que no lo noqueo antes.
He said that Bill's a joker and that they're going to save the night of the fight. He said, I don't care if he runs. I don't care if he holds on to me. I'm going to tire him out. I'm going to beat him down to where Bill has to say, you're my son. Let me stop the fight if I don't stop it for him.
Ask him if he sees it that easy, why not make that unification? Like, why does it have to be about what he sells? Take that belt.
Dice que si la ve tan fácil, ¿por qué no nomás unificar y quitarle el cinturón? ¿Por qué con él importa lo que venda?
No, pero lo que venda. Hay que ver el negocio que ellos tengan. Porque ellos se creen que son el lado A, pero no entienden que ellos son el lado Z. O sea, no venden. Ahora mismo ellos aceptaron con Ryan el 45%. Porque saben que él no vende.
He says it's not about him selling. It's more about how they do business. He says they think they're the A side, but they're the Z side because they don't sell.
Danny's energy is so gone. Tú le estabas escuchando la energía este cuando te estaba diciendo eso.
Bro, I'm literally
trying to remember
because you and this other dickhead keep jumping in like y'all the ones translating. How about y'all shut the fuck up so I can translate, and then when I'm done, y'all jump in.
Yo creo.
Mira. Oye, pinche dominicano de la isla, habla tu idioma, tu lengua, y no quieres traducir, pero bien se mete cuando estoy traduciendo, y luego se me olvida. Yo que se calle el hocico, que se calle o que traduzca.
Yo lo que quiero que él... como tú ves, porque yo me tranco en par de palabras. Right now, how do I say deliver, Danny? How do I say deliver? Like, I just want you to deliver.
Mandar.
No. Tú ves. Y yo, hay palabras que yo me tranco.
Yeah, that's it.
Porque yo lo que quiero que él te traduzca con la misma energía. ¿Verdad? Que tú.
Oh.
Eso es todo.
Pero sobre yo lo que le estoy diciendo, yo... Obviamente estamos hable. Yo estoy tratando de recordar todo para poder traducir todo. Porque luego se meten y luego se me olvida y luego yo soy el que quedó mal.
Disculpa.
Yo soy
disculpa.
Y que él te cambia ahí de... ¿Te refiere?
No. Todo bien. Este... I think I got everything, though,
yeah.
From that question.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up, man. Some people ain't get it. I'm sorry, but I felt like we've had them for so long. I don't want to get any calls.
Sure.
Subriel, gracias por tu tiempo.
No. Antes que te vaya, obviamente, pues, nos dijiste cómo te sientes sobre las ventas y todo, pero ¿cómo ves la pelea el próximo sábado contra Devin y contra Ryan? ¿Cómo la ves?
A mí en lo personal... Me da igual quien gane. Creo que Haney, a pesar de que sea una gallina, tiene buen estilo, pero cuando le dan, se derrite. Si Ryan le da una mano, todo puede pasar. Pero mientras eso no pase, pues entiendo yo que se va a ir de un lado la pelea.
He says, well, look, I really could care less who wins because I asked him his thoughts. Obviously, he's had a lot to say. On the sales, I asked him his thoughts on the fight. He said he really could care less. He says, you know, despite Haney being a chicken, he has a very good style. But Ryan is a hard hitter. So as long as he doesn't get hit with one of Ryan's shots, it should be a one-sided fight. But I really could care less.
Ask him when and why did Haney become a chicken for him in his eyes?
De tu punto de vista, ¿cuándo fue que Haynes se convirtió en gallina para ti?
Sí, ¿cuándo y por qué tú le empezaste a llamar gallina? ¿Qué él hizo que te hace sentir de esa manera?
La manera en cómo abre los ojos cuando le dan golpe. No es normal.
He said,
a mí cuando me dan, yo te miro a los ojos para que vea que estoy lleno de odio. Él no. Él los abre que se le quieren salir las cápulas. Y eso no es normal en un boxeador. Por eso yo digo que él es un cobarde y lo voy a demostrar el día que peleemos.
He said the way he opens his eyes when he gets hit, he said that's where it comes from. He said that's not normal. He said you could see it in my eyes. I'm filled with hate and with rage. He said with him, he said he looks like a coward and he's going to see it when we fight.
Ask one last thing.
Go for it. La última.
Subriel is you know the one of the biggest fighters now out of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has a long line of legendary champions. What one or two or three, whatever champion, Puerto Rican champions, Subriel, did you look up to the most coming up, or did you take from, did you idolize?
Obviamente mucha historia en el boxeo puertorriqueño. ¿A cuáles campeones tú mirabas creciendo y tal vez aprendías un poco de viéndolos? O sea, ¿a cuáles puertorriqueños campeones tú veías?
Bueno, de aprender posiblemente de ninguno. Porque a ninguno le gustaría, ¿verdad?, que le dieran golpe. Pero crecí viendo a Tito Trinidad. Después Cotto, Juan Manuel López. Vi las últimas peleas de Calderón. No fueron, ¿verdad?, quizás las mejores, pero las logré ver. Entonces vi varios, el mismo Pedraza, que se hizo campeón dos veces, el gran Manny Rodríguez. Entonces, los vi a ellos, pero quizás no aprendí mucho de ellos, pues por somos estilos distintos. ¿Sabes?
He says, look, learn from probably not many because of our distinct styles, but definitely got to see a lot of them growing up. You know, I got to catch the later years of Calderon, which weren't his best, but I got to see them nonetheless. You know, Jose Pedraza, obviously two-time world champ. You know, Tito Trinidad, since my childhood, I was absolutely watching him, then Miguel Cotto. So, you know, definitely saw a lot of the greats, but didn't really learn from them too much just because of our different styles. Last one for sure. Subriel, la última, te juro, la última.
Es mentira, porque ya yo tengo
okay, la última de mí, pero porque con esa pregunta me hizo pensar, nosotros tenemos aquí ya tiempo siguiéndote, y en mi opinión, tu perfil ha subido demasiado en el último año. O sea, hace un año, quiero decir, tal vez tenías 15, 20 mil seguidores, tal vez un poco más de un año, pero yo recuerdo que no hace mucho nomás tenías 15, 20 mil seguidores. Ahorita me fijo, tienes 140 mil y sigues creciendo. ¿Tú sientes, o sea, que tal vez tú puedas ser la próxima cara del boxeo puertorriqueño, o tú crees que ya lo es?
Yo te voy a ser honesto. La persona que diga que es humilde, para mí es arrogante. ¿Sabes? Yo no puedo decir algo que le toca al público, al fanático decidir. Eso a mí no me compete. Yo lo más que puedo hacer es entrenar y que ellos se sienten orgullosos, ¿verdad?, en cada salida. Pero sobre todo, representar con orgullo a nuestra bandera. Eso sí me toca a mí. Es lo más que puedo decir. Pero de ahí en fuera, de yo creerme que soy, no, eso no está en mí.
¿Por lo menos has sentido el apoyo de la gente este último año?
Sí.
¿Año y medio por ahí?
Sí.
Ok.
Gracias a Dios. Incluso después de la derrota hubieron varios fanático que me trataban, mano, todos los días me subían a la autoestima, papi, no pasó nada, que si tú ganaste, te fue empate, así que una derrota no hace menos, sigue entrenando, y hoy día ha crecido mucho, y agradecido con Dios y cada fanático que me la está dando.
Eso te ayudó mucho durante ese tiempo.
Claro,
las palabras de los
sí.
fanáticos, okay. So I asked him, I said, obviously, we've been following his career very closely, especially the last 2 years or so. And in that, you know, we've obviously noticed the increased support that he has received. You know, not that long ago, he was at about 15, 20,000 followers. He's at 140,000 now. I wanted to know if he has, you know, with all the recent support, if he feels like he could be the next Puerto Rican great, the next face in boxing. Obviously, Marco, your question kind of triggered that. You asking him of the greats that he saw coming up. He says, look, at the end of the day, as a humble man, I cannot answer that because that is an answer for the people to give. That is something that the people determine and they choose, you know, who that is. But one thing I do know, it's my responsibility to represent that flag, that Puerto Rican flag, and represent it with pride, and that I plan to do. He said, so then I asked him, well, do you at least feel the support from all the people, you know, especially this last year and a half or so? He said, absolutely. He said, look, you know, I remember, you know, there was just a few fans, but after I lost, that would keep me motivated, send me words of encouragement, tell me that one loss doesn't define you, tell me that they thought I got a draw, whatever the case may be. That really helped during that time. So now to see the overwhelming support, that really means a lot. But I can't say I'm the face. That's for the people to say.
So, Subriel, la mía, antes de preguntártela, voy a preguntar si tiene el tiempo de para dos, porque una es un poco más larga, pero te da la oportunidad de darle un ching de educación sobre Puerto Rico, y la otra es solamente qué música tú escuchas cuando estás corriendo, porque me interesa a mí, porque yo corro y, tú sabes, depende de la música, corro más. So, la última vez que yo pienso que había una pelea grande en Puerto Rico, tiene que ser con Juan Manuel López contra Solido, ¿verdad? Y si estaba chequeando, y eso es hace 2011, abril, 16,
13 años, hace
en el Coliseo
años.
De Bayamón, Rubén Rodríguez. ¿Eso es cierto en tu opinión?
No sé la fecha exacta, pero ¿verdad? Han habido diferentes peleas entre México y Puerto Rico, pero quizás, como bien dice, así de título grande, porque también estuvo Cancio con Machado, que fue más adelante, Pulga con Bomba, fue más adelante. Pero así quizás grande como tú bien llamas, pues posiblemente sí.
So my question was, you know, what was the last big fight? Because I was under the impression that Juan Manuel López and Orlando Salido would have been the last big fight over there. And he, you said there was a few others, but yes, he does believe that that was the last big fight. Now, it's a two-parter. Big title fight. It's a two-parter because I want to know what's the difference. I mean, I'm figuring it's just like any stadium in different states here in America, but I want to know, ¿puede decirnos la diferencia sobre los coliseos? Porque él estaba en Coliseo Rubén Rodríguez, ahora tú vas a estar en el Coliseo Juan Abien Cruz Abreu.
Abreu.
So, ¿cuáles son las diferencias? Y si nos puede explicar, para nosotros eso es solamente como tener un estadio aquí en un diferente estado.
Pues mira, realmente, ¿verdad? No sé cuál es la capacidad de Rubén Rodríguez, por lo menos en la de Manatí, es algunas 8,000 tantas personas. Es una cancha nueva, lo apodan el mini Choliseo, de lo hermoso que está. Creo que cuando vayan, ¿verdad?, van a ver algo bien, bien bonito, bien orquestado, bien acomodado, algo bien representado. Y para mí es un honor, porque Manatí tiene, ¿verdad?, es un bello pueblo, hay muchas cosas bonitas por ver, y creo que el 15 de junio el mundo va a saber dónde queda Manatí.
He says, look, you know, I really don't know the capacity difference, but the venue I'm fighting in is new. I think it'll be very well represented. You'll see the people coming out. And more than anything, they'll be able to see how beautiful the town Manatí, Puerto Rico is.
Y la última es, ¿qué canciones tú escuchas cuando estás corriendo? ¿Hay diferentes canciones que te hacen correr más o no?
Pues mira, yo soy bachatero, me encanta la bachata. Yo escucho mexicano, ¿sabes? Me encanta, tengo muchas canciones mexicanas de vivencia. Escucho mucho maleanteo. Depende del mood en el que me levante.
Pero
a
tú
veces
puedes correr.
Cristiana.
Tú puedes correr a música de bachata.
Claro.
¿Cuál es tu favorita, canción favorita para correr bachata?
Wow, es que si tuviera el teléfono aquí te digo los nombres exactos,
oh,
pero man. Son varios cantantes, ¿sabes? Anthony Santos, Romeo, Aventura, está el Chacal, ¿cómo que se llama este? El Torito, creo que es,
uh-huh,
la de ¿Dónde están esos amigos? Hay mucha bachata que me ponen.
¿Dónde están esos amigos? Que me decían, shout out to you, Surreal. Wow, pero eso para nosotros los dominicanos, ¿cómo? Espérate, dame traducir. Danny, you got any of that? I'm sorry.
I mean, no, that was y'all music.
Okay.
But basically, he was just asking him what music he liked to run to, because Ness said that certain music makes him run faster. That's just some lazy shit, but nonetheless. He says he likes to run a bachata music, and then he started listing off some old people.
Which is crazy, because like I never thought to run to bachata, and then obviously that's a Dominican thing. So ahora tengo que preguntarte cómo conociste la bachata siendo puertorriqueño. Yo sé que nosotros bailamos todo cumbia, todo los caribeños bailan de todo, pero tú sabes. Es una música que empezó en los campos de Santo Domingo, de la República, que, tú sabes, si no fuera por Anthony Santos, inspirando a Anthony Santos Romeo, la música no llega al mundo entero como él lo está dando. So, ¿Cómo tú te introduciste a esa música?
Desde chiquito, si yo vivía al frente de un bar.
Nice. So he said he was introduced to that as a kid. He lived across the street from a bar. Y obviamente te persigo. Tu esposa es puertorriqueña porque tú ves, yo soy trigueño, dominicano. Yo estaba hablando con los promotores de Top Rank y ellos me dijeron un día, no porque que la gente piense que Subriel es dominicano. So yo vi tu esposa y dije, coño, ¿ella es puertorriqueña o es dominicana?
No, es puertorriqueña.
Okay. Bueno, ya eso es todo. No te quiero coger mucho de tu tiempo.
No hay problema.
Bueno, gracias, Subriel. Gracias
Subriel,
por venir en el programa y te deseamos mucha suerte en esta pelea y Dios para adelante.
Mi gente, aprovechar el foro. 15 de junio. Vayan a tiquetera.com. Y miren cómo va la venta de boletos. Va rápida. No se me queden afuera. Esto promete ser un gran, gran show. Y es traído por la mejor compañía de Puerto Rico, Fresh Production Boxing. Acuérdense en ese dato. La mejor compañía de Puerto Rico, Fresh Production Boxing. 15 de junio. Manatí, Puerto Rico se va a prender en fuego. Así que nada. Muchas gracias, varón.
¿Quién te va a caminar?
¿Cómo así?
Ringwalk, Danny, how you say that?
La entrada para el ring, vas a tener artista.
Vamos a entrar con Muertun Gallero, mexicano, Vicente Fernández, el papá de mi entrenador. Ese es mi dúo.
Ok. ¿Y cómo van a recibir los puertorriqueños eso?
No, normal. Eso no, ¿sabes? Una cosa es, ¿verdad?, las canciones que uno escuche y otra es lo que uno es.
Ok. Yo estaba pensando Mark Anthony.
También, fíjate, esa canción de mi, ¿cómo es que se llama? Preciosa. Es una canción hermosa, me encanta. Pero no lo está hecho.
All right. Well, yo me voy a recordar la canción que tiene Mark Anthony. Es como un poco lenta, pero tal vez sería bien para empezar con esa. No puedo.
Yo trato de entrar al ring con canciones que me identifican como persona.
Okay.
Y esa canción de Muerto un Gallero es algo
voy a tener que escucharla hoy. Muerto el Gallero de Vicente Fernández.
Fernández.
Okay. Bueno, Sobriel, otra vez gracias por todo tu tiempo. Pase buena.
Bendiciones.
Igual. All right, so I know we didn't translate a lot of that. Oh,
yeah,
damn.
No,
Danny's on point.
He was just saying, go get the tickets, link in his bio. He said, they're going fast. You don't want to be left outdoors.
I heard they sold over 5,000 already. I forgot to ask that, too, because I heard they sold over 5,000. Then I had someone tell me, like,
but said the venue only hold 8, right?
Yeah. I heard they sold over 5,000 already. And then I was talking to somebody, like, yeah, but that's because the undercard. My brother's no undercard now. She's like, nah, there's 2 people on the undercard already, and it's selling because of them. I'm like, how? I don't even know who those people are. So it must be some local.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
Allegedly, it's 2 locals. But that's still good. That's good promoting if you know how to, you know, build your card. That was dope, man.
Go get your tickets, though. And then he was talking about the ring walks.
He seemed like he was mad funny. Like, when you listen to it, knowing Spanish, did he have, like, a funny kind of...
Oh, yeah. His answers was fucking... He was a Gillette, bro. It felt like he was had a knife, bro. He was wilding out here. Some of the answers, he came for Haney, bro. I wonder if that has to do with, you know, the same thing Panda said about how Bill tried to get with Wong. And that's a Latin thing. I'm not like that. But I think that's... You see, because you heard him... What'd he say? He talked about Haney in that matter, but then he talked about Tank in a respectful manner, like, or how Tank conducts business, and Tank is respectful. So, I guess it's a Latin thing, right? Eddie Reynoso and Canelo on that shit, too. Like, they want the respect versus the
which is funny to me in the sense that I think that, at least as Mexicans, I can't speak for Puerto Ricans or Dominicans, but I feel like the way we talk amongst each other is, like, very disrespectful for the most part. Like, you know, I think, like, if I had to compare it to anything, I feel like we talk like Bronx, like people from the Bronx. Like, it's a lot of fuck yous. It's a lot of, like, we don't talk in a respectful manner.
Yeah, that's
like amongst each other. So, hey, to each their own.
Yeah, bro, he's Christian now, bro.
Yo, you ever get Pulev on the show, I'm translating.
He quit smoking, and he's like, you know, that he recommends no one smoke, that it, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. So it got to be the Christian thing, you know what I'm saying? But.
Well, he hands down some holy ass whooping, so that makes sense.
Well, look, I'm about to smoke some Hardeen now, so if you're in Vegas this weekend for UFC 300, the only place to get your top. Garden needs and you know, top, you know, THC,
yeah.
CBD needs is...
Danny, he never gave us 2 things. He never told us why Tio was a coward and when he started calling Devin a chicken, right?
He said that he ain't say when. He just said that because of the way Devin's eyes look.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah. So he did answer that. Why he calls Tio a coward?
I don't think he said.
Damn. Moose is on you. Oh, what was the outcome to Rashidi Ellis and Michael Fox for that 1-round TCL shit?
I don't know, bro. That's it. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I ain't watching that.
I mean, I'm definitely watching that 1-round with Rashidi Ellis and Michael Fox. What? Go ahead, Moose.
No, I'm just saying, like, I ain't watched it at all, like, ever.
Yeah, you coming in?
That's my favorite fighter to watch. It's Bill Matias. Appreciate you guys having a moment. Good morning, Ness, Danny, and Marco. I appreciate the work you do.
What up?
The time you give out of your life. To help the boxing fans get through. Salute to the entire TBV community. I'm glad to be here, baby.
What's going on?
Motherfucking super chat. He said, to not ask paying subscribers questions in a Sabril interview once Haney gets brought up and continue to ask seven questions of your own shows a lot. I don't know if he's talking about me or Danny, because he certainly triggered the both of us, but he triggered me to ask questions. He triggered Danny and mood changed. Danny went from translating with passion to being like, yeah,
bro,
said,
you
said,
just kept interrupting, like, and I get it, like,
the
he
blood
was saying
is
some,
red and the juice
was,
is orange.
No, I get it. He was saying some spicy shit, but you literally kept interrupting right before that. How many times you like translate that? I'm like, translate what? I ain't know. It was so much shit. It was 7 minutes of dialogue. I'm like, bro, what the fuck am I supposed to translate?
What's that super chat supposed to mean? Like that you're.
No, nah, but
basically,
it gotta be towards
mad.
Ness.
They mad
Ness
at
the
us.
One,
like your pro.
No,
yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No. It's just the questions. He's saying that Ness kept asking questions of his own, but not fan questions.
I had to. If you call someone a Gajina, we need to know why he's
I'm not,
a Gajina.
I mean, bro, you was asking him about what movie gets him groovy while he fuck, or what music get him groovy while he run. Like,
that's all
who,
the way at the
cares?
End, man. Get out of here. You're a hater. I care. I'm a runner. Moose.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm saying
right.
Over the people running.
Start
no,
the
that's
top.
What he was saying.
Yo,
that's
what, y'all
going to
let this man start from the top? What did you say, Marcos? Now I want to know. Hold on, Moose. What you say, Marcos?
When Danny said, what music gets him groovy?
That's what he asked the Brill.
He a
asked
liar.
Him what music gets him groovy?
I ain't fucking say that shit.
You poor groovy.
Yo, my man out here thinking he's Austin Powers. Go ahead, Moose. Do it again.
All right. Good morning, Ness, Danny, and Marco. I appreciate the work you do, the time you get out of your life to help the boxing fans get through. Salute to the entire TBB community. I'm glad to be breathing and to be here with you. Salute to Devin the Dream Haney. Salute to Father Bill Haney. Salute to King Ryan Garcia. Salute to the legendary Oscar De La Hoya. I had some dark and sour words for Ryan and Oscar yesterday. I am very ashamed of my comments. When I spoke what I spoke yesterday, it did not feel good. It did not feel natural. But I said it in spite of that. I am taking it back. I always tell myself I should never say things behind someone's back that I would not say to their face. I always tell myself I should never say things behind someone's back that I would never say to their face. Yesterday, I did that. I would never speak that way to Oscar and Ryan if I stood in their presence. I would salute them. I would compliment them. I want to make my parents proud. I want to make my children proud. So I must always conduct myself in that manner. I feel like J. Cole with this apology. I don't want no hate in my soul or in my body. Salute to the entire TBB community once again. Much love to everyone and everything. Thank you, Father, for another day. I hope everyone has a blessed day. Peace.
Listen, there's no place I'd rather be on earth every day than doing this show. What did he just say? What was that last part, Moose, you just said?
He was just apologizing.
He
came on
oh,
yesterday.
To J. Cole. He said, I feel like J. Cole. Goddamn, you
he came
got
on
me.
Yesterday, right?
J. Cole
you got me tearing right now. It is literally tears in my eyes. I promise you they are.
But, Moose, you got to remind us what you said yesterday. But that kind of goes against this whole thing.
Nah, we don't want to hear what he said yesterday. He was wilding yesterday.
He was rhyming. I remember it was rhyming.
You just go press rewind if you want to hear. But Moose, that was fire. That was a fire call,
yeah.
Man. Welcome back.
I was in a dark place, and I should never spread no darkness, you know, only light and love.
Nah, for sure, man, for sure.
No,
peace and love,
y'all.
Man. Peace and love. If we all received each other with peace and love, we'd be in a better place, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right, champ.
That's all I want.
You the man. Nah, that was Fuego. Fuego. Those interviews was fire, man. Fire. I wish we would have had them motherfuckers on at the same time, but it would have got crazy trying to translate for four people and shit. You know what I'm saying? They would have just got bananas. Nobody ain't used my phone line. They gave me a new number because I ain't used my system in so long. That's wild, as I had that number for 10 years. You know, where's the love? There is no love. They like, oh, you want to go? You want to go be with Blue Wire? But we ain't rocking with you. They took my number away after 10 years, bro. 10 years. What's that countdown?
Yeah.
The bomb is about to blow, baby. You got to blow this joint. You ain't know about the bomb?
No.
Tim Bosky's the bomb. About to blow up.
Ooh-ooh.
Ooh-ooh. You got it. The glamorous life. Ooh-ooh. Remember that? I know you remember that, Marcos.
The glamorous life. Yeah, it didn't sound like that, though, but I remember that song.
What the fuck? How it ain't sound like that? You crazy ain't sound like that. This is exactly how it sounded. Tim Bosquet.
What's up, Tim?
Yo, yo. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
oh,
ooh,
shit.
Ooh, ooh. The train keeps going. Salute, Marco, Danny, Ness. You get me? Salute to the community. I hope everyone's having an excellent day. Get me? The week is going well. You get me?